Battle Game and all this stuff.
It's on, we're on.
On major college and pro football. Let me introduce the panel. Cali Mike, what's up?
Hey,
Cali Mike, you there? What's up? Tex, you there? What's up?
Yeah, I'm here. What's going on, everybody? Let's go.
All right. That's shot time. What's up?
What's going on, everybody? In the words of our favorite caller, stats don't mean nothing to me. All I care about is W's.
True. Hey, we will be here for the next 2 hours. You can call us in at 347-237-5539. We want to get at the hottest topic of the hour right now. We will talk about Meg Gatteo.
Hey, I'm on here, guys. I'm getting some inside information on the other line right now, so I'll be right back.
All right. So what I want to know is, what's your thought on the Manti Te'o situation? Let me start with you. Well, hold on. First of all, let me go over the story. Let me go over the whole situation first. A few months ago, everybody knows that Manti Te'o had his grandmother and allegedly his girlfriend passed away. And there was an article by Deadspin that broke today that said that the whole thing was a hoax. That in regards to his girlfriend dying, his girlfriend was a girl on the internet. I'm trying to look her name up. Her name was Lenny Kakuta, and allegedly the woman never existed, and she was online. So Manti Te'o came out with a statement today. And the statement, let me read the statement here, and I want to hear what everybody's opinion is on this. The statement is, this is incredibly embarrassing to talk about, but over an extended period of time, I developed an emotional relationship with a woman I met online. We maintained what I thought to be an authentic relationship by communicating frequently online and on the phone, and I grew to care deeply about her. To realize that I was the victim of what was apparently someone's sick joke and constant lies was and is painful and humiliating. It further pains me that the grief I felt that sympathizers expressed to me at the time of my grandmother's death in September were in any way deepened by what I believe to be another significant loss in my life. I am enormously grateful for the support of my family, friends, and Notre Dame fans throughout the year. To think that I shared them with my happiness about my relationship and details I thought to be true about her makes me sick. I hope that people can understand how trying and confusing this whole experience has been. And it says, later on I'm going to say, fortunately, I have made wonderful things in my life, and I'm looking forward to putting this painful experience behind me as I focus on the preparing for the NFL draft. Now, Notre Dame, we all know the rich history of Notre Dame. I mean, when you think of Notre Dame, you think of football. You don't even think about the Catholic Church, you think of football. So him being the best player on that team, the most visible player on the Notre Dame football team, and he had to go to the internet to find a girlfriend, is that believable? So I want to know what's your opinion on this. Let me go and start with you, Tex. What's your opinion on this?
No, I don't believe all of that, man. It's just, you know, people probably been knowing about it for a while, but the thing is, I mean, it's Notre Dame, so you can't come forward and call anybody a liar, otherwise you'd be the devil walking. I really don't. I mean, it's, I'm still waiting for Mike to get from on the other side of the line, share what's going on. I don't have a concrete opinion about what's going on, but to me, the school has always been a fraud, and it looks like the player is a bit of a fraud, on and off the field.
Okay, so you think this is a fraud, basically. You think he's a fraud, or he's just a guy that, you know, may have a tough time getting some women, even though he's a star football player of the Notre Dame football team. I mean, is it really a fraud, or he's just having a tough time getting women? Which is understandable.
But who knows? I mean, do we know that he likes women? I'm not calling him something.
That's not funny. I'm sorry. That's not
funny.
Funny.
Yeah, that's his man's personal life. You know, hey, that's what he wants.
But
exactly. That's the point I'm trying to get at. You said that's his personal life. And whereas if I'm an NFL draft executive, I mean NFL GM, I'm thinking this guy has character issues or this guy just can't get a girlfriend. I mean, what are you thinking? Put yourself in the mind of an NFL GM. Are you thinking character issues, or are you thinking he just can't get a girlfriend? What are you thinking? Tex or Shottown or Cali? Any of y'all?
I mean, I guess, like I said, I mean, in the world of America, everybody's got to know the truth about everything, and I guess when you're in the spotlight, everyone, everything has personal. I feel like I was saying from the start of the show, I mean, that's, it's not really football related. That's a man's personal life, man. If he has a makeup fantasy girlfriend, he has, and whatever. Hey, that's his business.
So you're saying basically it's just he can't get a girlfriend, and we just
don't
know that.
I mean, I don't know. It really isn't. I mean, it's not my business. I don't know the guy, but you know, everybody.
I mean, if I'm
a making a big deal,
I want to know this. I want to know this. If this guy has a lying spirit to him, or he's not trustworthy, I want to know. But
I want to decipher
if this guy can't get a girlfriend, or this guy just is a natural liar or something. I mean, if he just says, you know what? I have a tough time getting women, and I have to go to the internet, even though I'm the star player on Notre Dame football team. But anyway, Tex, you got any other opinion on this? Because I got two callers coming in. You know, one of them is our favorite person. So,
here's the thing. The bottom line is you have something dealing with dishonesty, a guy being not being what he is. You have a school taking advantage of this, you know, using this sport to. If you haven't heard of Notre Dame, you're watching football. Oh, they have a kid who lost his grandma and his girl. This is a stand-up organization or whatever. This football team is this squad is without flaws. Everybody is without sin. I mean, they just use all of this stuff to their advantage. And I mean, like you said, everything about Notre Dame is this. Not a squeaky clean program.
Hey guys, I just hello.
Yes, we're here.
Okay, yeah, I just got off the phone with the source that has some close information about this situation. Apparently, this guy who was impersonating the girl, he's part of the Tuiasosopo family. They're a pretty big football family. Marcus Tuiasosopo came out of there, and apparently, this guy, I don't know, this came to a shock from the community where they're from. I just talked to two different people who know this dude. Nobody was expecting this. This was, from what I hear, a stand-up guy. He was a quarterback. It's kind of weird because he was quarterback at three different high schools, two of them in the same area in Southern California, one of them up here in Northern California. His family has a church. His dad is a football coach. He coached with somebody who I very close to me. And basically everybody's wondering what's going on. Like they, you know, from what I've heard from, you know, two different sources, it was a stand-up guy. And, you know, nobody was expecting anything like this. I asked about his sexuality. Everybody said that, you know, he was, you know, seemingly, you know, straight, you know, typical quarterback, you know, alpha male kind of guy. And, you know, nobody was expecting this. It's really, you know, all this is, you know, mind-blowing stuff. I don't think we've seen a scandal like this in college football, you know, among personal issues in a while. I mean, this is a new area of craziness.
So, hold on. And Callie, I want to ask you, like, if you're a GM, and, like, are you looking at it like, just like I asked Jamal and Shoutown, if you're a GM, are you just looking at this as a situation where he just can't get a girlfriend or he has character issues? Because, like, if I'm a GM, he does something like this, I can be like, man, this dude just has issues getting girls. I'll still draft him. But if this is, like, some sort of character flaws or maybe – or even, like, if he's not even liking women, you know, he's just trying to cover up, he's a homosexual, I'll draft him high. You know, I really couldn't care less about that. But if this is some
situation – I wouldn't say that it's character issues. I would say that it's issues. I mean, to for a lie of this level to where, you know, you involve your family and you guys are on national TV lying about this situation, you know, and like I say, the person on the other end of this was a guy. So, you know, he had to have known another dude was involved in this. So, you know, it's you know, like I say, this is a lot deeper than character. This goes into maybe mental. I mean, I understand there was a lot of pressure on him, you know, to try to rebuild this Notre Dame program, and I know they probably put a lot of pressure on him. But, you know, it's like this is, you know, to carry this kind of lie, I mean, it has to, you know, if you're a regular person, something like this would have to eat you up inside. You know, this is not, you know, you have to be, it takes a certain kind of person to live with this kind of lie. And I mean, maybe the way that they were trying to wrap this up was, like I say, you know, maybe the death was a way of trying to wrap it up. Or, I mean, there's so many questions involved in this. It's hard to even really attack this.
Keep going. I want to say something right after you get done.
It's just, you know, like I say, it's like I said, nothing like this has ever came up before. This is, you know, this is new territory. Internet's involved. I mean, this is somebody who, you know, they were, you know, his father said this could be my, you know, my daughter-in-law. You know, so
whoa, I didn't know that.
Yeah, like I'm saying, this involved his whole family. Like, you know, they thought this was going to be their daughter-in-law. They said they'd never met her, and they said they were about to meet her, and then all of a sudden the death came along, so. Maybe it was between Manti and this guy. You know, like I said, there have been people that said maybe it was, you know, it was a homosexual thing because of the religion. You know, Manti's a Mormon. You know, he's at a Catholic school. And, you know, but, I mean, who, you know, like I say, and this is, you know, this, you know, like I say, on the other end of this, you got this, you know, guy, Rashad Tisquasasopo, you know, who's a, you know, comes from a major football family. You know, you got the regular school, Tisquasasopo, Fred Matua. A lot of these USC guys, you know, and it's just, like I said, this is a weird, weird situation. More people who I've asked who know these guys have been totally, you know, they're totally mind-blown. They don't, you know, nobody saw this coming.
All right, do you think this is going to affect his draft status?
I would have to say yes. I mean, it has to. I mean, because, like I said, you have to question somebody's mental, you know, this is basically a hoax. You know, this is a very elaborate hoax. You fake a death. You know, and you got on national TV.
I don't know, man. I mean, I guess. I mean, all right. Part of me is thinking this.
You got to think about how long this has been playing out, though. This has been playing out since the beginning of the season, Cavill.
Yep, that's true.
Yeah, you know, it's not like it's just, you know, this, I mean, you know, this is, and he, you know, and he lied, you know, you were wearing those lays, and, you know, I'm going to devote this game to my girlfriend, and you ran out, you had, you know, basically you had, you, you know, basically you had the, you know, old Notre Dame win one for the Kipper moment, you know, go out, win one for the Kipper, you know, and they went out, and they dominated, and, you know, and now it's, you know, it's, wow. I mean, I think this affects Matthew, this affects Notre Dame. I would have to look at that program. I mean, how, you know, you invented a person, and the whole country was backing this. And, you know, ESPN, of course, they're trying to flip and, you know, and start, but, you know, they were backing it, too. They, you know, they ran national championship coverage. They were the one of some of the names one boosting this. So,
yeah.
You know, if it wasn't for Deadspin, just think, none of this would even be, you know, would even be out right now.
I mean, part of me is thinking, like, you know what, man, this guy just couldn't get a woman. But then I'm thinking to myself, I mean, you're the star player at Notre Dame. Are you kidding me? You can't find one woman to talk to on campus?
No, he's,
you know,
he's,
I'm
he's
like, it's just
player.
Like,
he's
okay, whatever.
Right.
Even if he ain't got no game, you can still find a woman, a decent-looking woman. Look at A.J. McCarron. But anyway, let me get to the callers here. They've been waiting for a while. You know, we got our favorite person here. Wiley, what's good?
What's up? Man,
Tateo's a liar.
That's the bottom line. Manti Te'o is a liar. And the Notre Dame football system exploited this situation to gain publicity for its national championship run. There's no ifs, ands, buts about it. Why? Because early in the year, Manti Te'o himself, out of his own mouth, said he met this girl at Stanford. And then, later on that same year, he said, after she died, I'll see her again in heaven. So he said
exactly.
He met her and he would see her again. And he ain't never see her once. So he's lying. There's no ifs, ands, buts, or maybes.
Okay.
He's on tape lying about this girl.
But what I'm saying is, Roger,
I think it was all a publicity stunt by not just him, but the organization itself to get him in the position to be Heisman. It is not the first time that there has been an all-out campaign to help a person get to win the Heisman. He just went about it the wrong way.
No, what I'm saying is, Wiley, like, I mean, I understand you're saying he's a fraud, but then part of me is just saying, you know
no,
what, man,
I didn't
this guy
say he was a fraud. He's a
or
liar.
A liar. Okay, yeah, he probably lied, but I mean, he's just like, you know what, man, the guy probably is shy. He couldn't get a woman or something like that.
What does that
you
have
know,
anything to do with it? He lied.
He probably had to lie and tell his boys he had a girl or something like that. Or he may be, you know, he'd be masking homosexuality. You never know. That's what I'm saying. So he had to come up with something to make it seem like
the bottom line is he's a liar.
Yeah, he lied.
To me, this is gone past lying. They made up a person. This is all made up. This is not, you know, a lot, like I say, if he was shy, you know, what's his name? Vince Wilfork met his wife offline. You know, that's I don't know if you guys knew that. He met a girl offline because he was shy and innocent. You know, he couldn't meet no girls, even though he's a multimillionaire, you know, probably going to Hall of Fame football player. You know,
yeah, I didn't know that either. I didn't know that.
Yeah, this case was totally different. This guy made up a girl, like Tony said. He said he met her at Stanford. This whole thing was made up. This was an elaborate hoax. Then all of a sudden she got to it. Remember, first she was in a car crash. Then she got leukemia a couple of weeks later, which is amazing. Then she went into remission. Then she died.
Maybe he's more shy than Vince Wilfork. I mean, I'm just saying, like, you know, it could have been just him. He could have been just masking something about himself. He could be.
Also,
he could, you know, or he just shy with girls.
There's other ways you can go up. I mean, think of there was people sending this girl flowers. There was people sending this girl, you know, they tried to make a fun for her.
All
some point,
the publicity stunt for the Heisman
at some point, somebody should have said,
and for
okay,
the
no
Notre
person.
Dame Irish football program. It ain't got nothing, it ain't just him. It was a whole picture. They were doing it all for purpose.
I kind of get what Mike was saying, though. I mean, he could have stopped, but, you know, he could have said, yeah, this was a make-believe person before it got that serious. But also, I mean, he lost his grandmother, you know, someone close. So obviously, the man, obviously, mentally might not be, you know, he still was
morning.
This all happened before. This happened before he even met his. This happened before his grandmother died, dude. They said he. They said he met this girl playing at Stanford last year. That was a whole year ago, man. And his parents were in on it. Notre Dame was in on it. This was an elaborate hoax.
Well, I mean, I just wish the best for him, man. I hope it, people just not let this affect his
job. I wish the best for him. Screw him. He screwed us. Screw him. All of the publicity and all of the, we feel so sorry that everybody has given him for the past year.
Exactly.
Now he needs to put up his ass.
Well, yeah, and you know what? Like when they died, he didn't really seem like. I mean, he seemed sympathetic for his grandma, but his girlfriend is. It's just she was kind of like an afterthought. The way he was talking about her a little bit after the Michigan State game.
Quit saying girlfriend. This is made up. There was.
Of course, I know that. I'm just saying. I'm just going back into body language. He didn't really seem really that bad about his girlfriend.
He knew it was made up.
Of course, yeah. But now that I know that, now I just go back and look at it. It's like, wow.
All right,
hold on.
I gotta say, also the story kind of, I like the story comes out. I mean, with this, even though, I mean, it's one of the most fire bizarre stories you can talk about, but it kind of put the Lance Armstrong story under the carpet right now with this, because, you know, it's going to be talking about for a good minute. And, you know, his story, lied to a lot, and, you know, I was going to say, well, hey, it's already too late for him, and he should have came out a long time ago and said that he lied. So, really, his story, I'll say probably...
In my opinion, this is worse than Lance Armstrong, in my opinion.
You think
so? Because at least Lance Armstrong had a reason for doing what he did. There's no reason for this whole situation to even have happened.
There is a reason for it. For them to be able to get him in the Heisman running and for Notre Dame to get into the championship game. They had to keep themselves in the spotlight, and what better way to keep yourself in the spotlight than sympathy?
But Callie Mike, that was across the light zone, man. I mean, hey, if he wants to have a make-believe girlfriend or a fantasy, hey, I mean, again, that's his personal life. I don't think it has nothing to do with sports. Maybe, like you said, it's more than, like you were saying about the draft status. It's probably more, maybe you need to get checked out. But, you know, that's his personal life.
Mike, we're not talking about a fantasy girlfriend or something. We're talking about a hoax, dude.
I know what I'm saying.
Let me ask you this. Why didn't anybody at Stanford ever say, okay, we don't know who this person is?
Somebody obviously did. That's how they found out she wasn't real.
No, Deadspin researched it and found it out. Nobody came out and said anything. That means there was a cover-up.
Yeah. Well, hold on. Hey, we got another caller here. I gotta get this caller. They've been waiting for a while. Let me put you on hold, Wiley.
All right.
James, what's good?
Man, look here. This whole thing is really bad from the setup, man, because if this is going to be something in reference to a girlfriend that he met online and all of that, and it was a fake, then like you said, it was a cover-up. This ain't something that really was, quote-unquote, discovered in late December. They probably would have found out by October or November if it was something that started up in September or something like that. And it was like you said, Clausel, you would think somebody that's a standout linebacker at Notre Dame to get chicks at Notre Dame, and you buy Chicago too. So I'm like, come on, man. That's like the whole little thing with Tebow in Florida, man. Come on. You telling me you're supposed to be the most publicized player in Florida Gators history, and you can't get no chicks down there? Come on, son.
And getting a good chick, a good woman down at Notre Dame. You know, they don't got no dumb woman going there, so I mean, he can have a nice, good quality woman there, though, you know.
Idiots are everywhere.
I mean, come on. I mean, he can't even pull no Catholic, Mormon, Protestant, any type of stuff around there. If you was
but also too, the man, he might. I mean, like I said again, this was kind of going back to personal stuff because, you know, his personal life. But maybe the man don't like women, though, you know. So, hey, that's another thing,
well,
too. So, we don't know.
Look at it. If he wanted people to think he had a girlfriend, all he would have had to do, everybody has had some kind of friend or know some dude. Yeah, I got a girlfriend. She just ain't here. That's all he would have to do. You're from Hawaii. Say your girlfriend in Hawaii somewhere. Who's going to go, you know, who cares? Like I said, if you're trying to cover up their sexuality, the guy, let's face it, he's a Mormon. They don't have sex, so he could have been like, okay, the reason I don't have a girlfriend is because I'm a Mormon. Easy. Nobody would have questioned anything.
Yeah,
but this goes past that.
But you know, man, in the locker room, man, in the locker room, man, the fellas are going to be like, man, you gay or you ain't got no girl.
Not if you're Mormon. Not if you're Mormon, dude. Huh? I went to school with Mormons. Everybody accepts that they don't do that. It's not, you know.
No, if you're around a bunch of Mormons, but if you're in, like, a sexual school, you're around a bunch of Catholics? Come on, man. I mean, I don't want to generalize Catholics. I'm Catholic. I'm just saying, I don't...
You're at a Catholic school, you're a Mormon, so who would expect you to do anything? Think about it.
So Mormons, so you're saying Mormons don't have sex like that?
No.
I thought it was the opposite. Oh, okay.
I mean, look at what happened to a cat that was at BYU who had sex with, you know, and he ended up marrying that girl and they kicked him out of school.
Oh, yeah, you're talking about Harvey Unger. Yep.
Yeah, but it was in the dorms, man. It was in the dorms. That was in the dorms. That's why he was kicked out. But I'm just saying.
No, it's because they had sex.
Right, in the dorms. In the dormitory. They did it in the dormitory.
But it don't matter if it was in the dorms or not. It's sex, period. It's because, you know, that's against their religion.
I guess.
This is a very elaborate cover up. Like I said, where was the hospital records at? Where was, you know, why didn't the hospital
either
come out and say this girl has never been here?
Has some type of, you know, thing that shows that, I mean, this dude never even went online to find this chick or, you know, anything to back up where this chick came from. You know what I'm saying?
Like I say, if he was a victim, who was he talking to? Like I say, he had to have been on the phone. You know, if he was really a victim, well, first of all, he lied because he said he met her. Yeah, that's gonna let you know off bat something's wrong. Who was he talking to? You know, he had to. I mean, even if you meet a girl online, you're gonna talk to her. You know.
Hey. I wish the guy well, man.
Like I said, and his dad said that they're about, I mean, I would have to look at his mental state. Right. Like I said, you don't want to have, you know, especially since things are going to start coming crashing down around him, you don't want to have like a Javon Belcher situation going. I'd be looking at that.
Oh, come on, man. That's a little extreme, man. Come on, that's not fair. That's crazy, man. Come on, man.
You have somebody who clearly has a fragile mental state. And now things, you know, now everything, you know, first he loses the national championship. Now there's big lies coming out. His draft stock might plummet. You never know what this cat might do.
Yeah, that's true. Mike brought a good point, though, about it. I mean, like you said, the mental side. No one knew. We didn't know that that man, Belcher, had, you know, problems like that. And, of course, I guess we could talk about that because I'm talking about the general public before, you know, he had that, you know, when he did the suicide and everything.
The people that drafted him knew he had some sort of prior situations with his girlfriend. I mean, it was documented. He had a legal case. He had a domestic dispute with his girlfriend in college. So,
yeah,
I'm
just saying. You're saying you would still draft Matty Taylor.
I don't know. Part of me, I don't know, I'm halfway. Like I said, part of me is like, you know, maybe this guy's just shy, he's a homosexual. That really doesn't matter. Or another part of me is like, this guy's a flat-out liar because you can't convince me that you're the star football player of a team and you can't get a girl. So...
This is more than that. Where was Notre Dame at when all this was going on? Where was Stanford at? Where was the hospital at? Where was all these money? Where was all these flowers going to?
I don't know.
I mean, like I said, this is an elaborate hoax, dude. This is more than just he was lying.
All right. Well, let me put you back on hold here, James. Let me get Wally back on here.
And now they're calling him the victim. They're calling him the victim of a fraud. He's the victim now.
Yeah, he is. I mean,
who frauded him? Who, I mean,
he frauded everybody else.
Yeah, Riley, man, what's your take on this?
Like I said, he's a damn liar.
Would you draft him in the first round?
I'd sit his ass on the bench and wouldn't draft him at all.
You wouldn't draft him at all? Would anybody
no.
here draft him in the first round? Text.
I mean, right
him,
now.
I'd make him be a walk-on.
Text.
So
text. You draft him in the first
money.
Round? You draft him in the first round, Tex?
No.
Callie Mike, would you draft? Well, I guess you're no then, basically, Callie Mike, because you're saying you don't know his
Mississippi
State.
I might not have drafted him in the first round anyway, to tell you the truth, but no.
I draft him in the first round. I still draft him in the first round, but.
Me? I mean, right now, I mean, I had to say, like you were saying, first round, I mean, it's the money thing. And right now, I mean, it's all about the money thing, with, you know, I mean, as a person. I mean, obviously, it's something there. Right now, I wouldn't, I mean, part of the story, of course, yeah, I would take a chance with him, but right now, kind of, I'm not even thinking about, I'm not thinking about him with Tara football. I'm thinking about him, if it's mental side, I mean, what has me something going on, like, well, what, you know, the psychology of it, you know, before I'm going to bet some millions of dollars, I mean, what's going on? And right now, he need to get checked out right now.
Cupcake game, but he looked like dog crap during that real game against the real team. They were running right over him in that game.
Well, let me ask you guys this: do you guys think that there's any possibility of an NCAA investigation into this?
Why would there need to be?
University.
Are you talking about in terms of? Oh, you mean like as far as moral clauses or anything like that?
Yeah. I mean, if it happened at Penn State, I mean, lying is lying, correct?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't
think it gets that serious, though.
Well, like you
say,
I mean, think about this, though, Tony. If what you said is true, can we not say that the university did not benefit from this lie?
Yeah, but
the
university
benefited, but that doesn't mean they definitely knew.
Yeah, you have to say the university.
Just because they definitely benefited doesn't mean that, I mean, okay, they heard all of this stuff about him having a girlfriend that died, but that doesn't mean the university itself went into the in-depth checking of who this guy's girlfriend was. If they had to do that for every athlete, how many investigations would they have going on?
It don't matter. It's not every athlete. We're talking about Manny Te'ao, the star linebacker.
Okay, but Manny Te'ao at the University of Notre Dame is just another athlete. You know how many athletes?
No, he got. Are
you
serious? Manny
Te'ao
at the University of Notre Dame, who's doing interviews on USA Today and Good Morning America, crying about his girlfriend, is not just another athlete.
Manny Te'ao is a football athlete at the University of Notre Dame, no different than Susie Susenbaum is the volleyball player at Notre Dame. He does not get any more special treatment than she does, no matter how much publicity he gets from the media.
All right.
You honestly think that? Is that what you think?
I honestly think that.
Okay.
All right, let's wrap it up here. Let's wrap up this discussion here. I'm gonna put you right back on, Wiley. Okay.
All right.
Now let's get into the draft. I posted something on the CMC Firestorm Facebook page. Mel Kiper's top 10 mock draft. Has everybody here seen it? Let me go down the list here. He has Luke Jokel. As the number one pick to Kansas City, DeMonte Moore as the number two pick to Jacksonville, Star Latelli or something like that, defensive tackle, number three. And number four, he has D. Milner from Alabama. Wow. I know somebody here on hold saying that was a crazy statement to make last week, but, you know, we will get to that in a minute. And then Jarvis Jones is number five. Manti Te'o is number eight. And Bavarcus Mingo is number nine, and Deion Jordan is number 10. So, you know, what's your take on that? Would you take an offensive lineman as the number one pick? Let me start with you, Callie Mike. What you think?
Well, first of all, and I'm going to be honest, I don't put too much behind what Mel Kiper or Mike Mayock say.
Yeah,
these dudes have been wrong year in and year out.
Yeah, I mean, that's
Mike,
true.
And Kiper, he's wrong, but Mike Mayock falls in love with guys and be completely wrong and will not admit his mistake. So, like I said, I don't put too much into either one of them say. In terms of if I would pick offensive linemen, I mean, if that's what my team needed and there was an offensive lineman out there they could, you know, that was worthy of it. I mean, I've heard different things about Jocko. I mean, I don't know if that's Jocko, is that how you pronounce his name? I've heard some guys say he's one of the best offensive tackles they've seen in the past 5 or 6 years coming out of college. So, I mean, if you think this is this type of guy, yeah, you take him number one. If your team needs him, if that's what you need, yeah, you go. You know, I mean, would you not draft Orlando Pace number one?
Yeah, I'd draft Orlando Pace number one.
Yeah, the fans. You know,
I don't know anything about this dude, but I draft Orlando Pace number one. You know.
Well, look at what he did against one.
All right, Tex, what's your take on this?
Man, that's Mel Kiper. I mean, I know you look you think you're millionaire, okay, we get it. You think the next superstar.
See, there you go, man. Why you lying there, man? That's not true, man. I didn't say that. There you go, man. Keep going.
You think he's finna be a star? And I've seen. I mean, first off, this is Kiper. I mean, this and Kiper and McShay. I mean, they're okay sometimes, but now they just kind of. I don't even pay attention to Kiper. I don't pay attention to McShay. I've seen different mock drafts. I mean, Teo at 8, the Buffalo. I've seen Teo in a lot of drafts nowadays. A lot of mocks nowadays go as low as 20. And I've seen Alec Ogletree go in the top 10. See what I'm saying? So.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of seeing a few new things here. I've seen Warmack go higher. I haven't seen Star Lutalele that high. I've seen Moore that high. I think I've seen a couple with Deion Jordan up there. I haven't seen Mingo at 9 yet, I believe, but. You know, this is just Kiper's first mock, and you know this kind of stuff changes. It is January. The draft isn't until April. You still have pro days. You have combine, which is not. You know, you have the most important thing is the pro days and the All Star games.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the most important things. So guys are going to move up and move down. On through those events, but I mean it's just a mock. I mean it's Kansas City. I mean no, not really any. I guess he feels Jocko is the best player coming out. Kansas City doesn't even have serious. I guess he's assuming that Brendan Albert will move on from KC, but with the new CBA, you know it's cheaper to keep your guys. You can keep guys now, so I. Assuming Albert goes and they draft Jocko, so I get that. I understand that part of it, but I do. Mm-hmm. I think KC brings Albert back. I still think they go Geno Smith, but I mean it's very very early.
Okay,
Quazell, hold on, Quazell. Was that his big board top 10, or was that his actual mock draft?
I thought it was big board 10 or whatever.
This is his mock draft. His first mock draft.
I don't know why he has it out now and it's still the postseason,
man. He has D. Milner number 4.
I wonder why he has it right now because nobody ain't really caring about the draft right now. They still worry about the postseason.
Shaitan, you got an opinion on this? We got a special guest coming in. I know y'all going to like this one, man. You guys, hold up. You got something to say?
I mean, it's early, like Texas was saying, man. They still didn't have the senior bowl game was supposed to be in another week, and we all know how that can go, and the pro days and the combine, that ain't even happening yet, so it ain't no big thing. I'm not even paying attention to it.
All right, hold up. Hey, we got a special guest coming in here. Let me put him online. Y'all know his voice. What's up, CNT Firestorm?
Hey, what's up? What's going on?
What's going on, man? You got an opinion, DT? What's good?
Man, I was listening to y'all talking about Tao, and I'm just say that, yeah, well, the question was asked, like you asked, should he be a first-round draft choice? I think he should be a first-round draft choice. That's all. I think what's going to happen is that, you know, if it was me, if I'm an executive, I'm going to sit him down and ask him, hey, man, what's wrong with you? And figure it out. If I like what he's saying, then I'm going to pick him. If I don't like what he's saying, then I won't pick him. I mean, you have to scout the player, his body of work over the years that he was at Notre Dame, and see if he's a good player. Now, the championship game, which I think, unfortunately, a lot of people, that was the first time they saw him play, and he didn't look all that great. And that's because, hell, Notre Dame was killing him. They had that nose guard was getting killed. And Ray Lewis will tell you, if you don't got a nose guard, I can't play. So that's really what's going on there. But I think he's a good player. I think he deserves to be picked in the first round. I think he's a little nuts. I think Mike is right. I don't know what that other guy was talking about where he's just a liar and he's just some other player at Notre Dame. No, that guy's an anti-Tayer. Everybody knows that guy. So I think there was some type of cover-up or something like that. I think Mike's absolutely right. So,
what I'm saying is, though, DT, like, I mean, do you think it's just more so of, okay, you're just saying sit him down and talk to him. I mean, just based on your analysis, do you think it's just like he could be a lying guy, or do you think he just has a tough time getting a girlfriend?
No, I think Mike was right. I think it was bigger than a lie. I think it was a massive cover. That's what I think.
I mean, it had to be. I mean, it's not. You know, like I said, it's too many. It's too much. It's too many variables involved. If everybody is this stupid in Notre Dame, then Notre Dame isn't the school that I thought it was. You know, it was. I mean, it's like I said, it's too. You're involved in Stanford too, and like I said, hospitals. There has to be somebody at that house. If celebrities' hospitals' records can leak, you know, just like that, nobody at that hospital went, hey, we've never heard of this girl, or there's nobody here like that.
Well, here's how you get rid of the whole, you know, girls issue. It's not a girls issue. It's because, one, you know, if you live long enough, you figure out this is how the girl thing works. Either you're young and you just look good and you can get girls, that's one. Either you just have family game, you can get girls, that's two. The third way is you are just special. You are Manti Te'o at Notre Dame. And so he doesn't have to do anything. He could just sit there. And they'll throw it at him.
The woman with his car, well, I'm telling you, ain't you the football player at Notre Dame?
He could be gay if he wants to. They'll throw it at him anyway. He'll learn if he's gay.
Now you're convincing me, DT, to think that, hey, this was a tremendous cover-up on this guy. Yeah, you're right,
I mean,
you're right.
Seriously,
Mike got a play, yeah, I mean, because if all this stuff we saying now, it had to be something.
And this
is one of the rockiest stories we ever had to talk about and hear it on the news, man.
Just for general public knowledge, we're talking to Dennis Thomas, 1998 Athlete of the Year, Evans High School, and famous Orlando area reporting artist.
All right, man. Hey, I got to put you on hold here, though, DC, man. I got this call in, man. All right? I'll put you on hold here. Let me get back here. I got you, Wiley, next, all right? James, what's up?
All right, two things in reference to, one, the Manti Te'o thing, and the second thing about Mel Kiper's mock draft. The first thing about Manti Te'o was that it was like pretty much like I said before, you know, you can't be a star player on a profile team and pass that quick. You know, think about a girlfriend, if she exists or not on the draft. That thing will come out quick. With that being said, that means he's not just another player on a college football team. He's Manti Te'o. He's different than, say, a Skylar Diggins, who's at the same school playing college basketball, but you don't see that much publicity for a women's college basketball team compared to their football team. Their football team brings in the money. Their football team brings in the publicity. So if you're the star player, yeah, they're going to focus on you more than pretty much anybody else on the team. Just like A.J. McKinnon for Alabama. You know what I'm saying? Now, in reference to his draft stock, He's going up and down. And with this whole situation, I don't think it's not ending yet. So I think Moore's going to come out of it, and it's going to end up being bad for Manti Te'o. So he's going to fall in the draft. He might be late first-round pick. He might even not even be in the first round, depending on what comes out with this story.
All right. What about D?
Oh, here we go, man. You know the man. Like, I get, but he must have been, like, the greatest shutdown corner back then or something. Come on, man. It was like I said, man, when you posted the link up, I just don't see these teams that are pretty much in the top five or six claiming for a cornerback or a defensive back right now. So that's pretty much my main reason why I don't see Dee Milner being in my top five. Yeah, I mean, to me,
you don't see Oakland, you don't see Philly, you don't see Detroit looking for a defensive back? Unless
no.
I get you.
They spend a lot of money on Norman. I don't see them going corner. They need to get an offensive line.
They're
going to
get rid of
Nambi. They don't need no cornerback.
They're getting rid of Nambi, though, allegedly.
Well, even if they get rid of Nambi.
Oh, they might move with the safety, though.
My thing is, as a team or a franchise, am I putting that much money as a top five selection into a defensive back? You really don't see that much. If I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it for a quarterback, an offensive lineman, most preferably tackle, or a defensive end, and maybe a linebacker. Those four, but that's pretty much it.
Okay.
I'll say this, though, to you, Jack.
I'm going to be honest about D. Milner. Patrick Peterson was drafted number five. Is he still comparable to Patrick Peterson?
I say no. I say he's more comparable to Nnamdi.
Yay! I thought he was going to say, yes, he is. I'm glad you got that right, though, Fazil.
I've been saying that for weeks. I said
Nnamdi
Jr.
No, I'm talking about Patrick Peterson, the Patrick Peterson comparison.
I said he wasn't going to be as good as Patrick Peterson. Tex heard me say that.
I'm not saying he's going to be Nnamdi. Nnamdi is a multiple-time Pro Bowl winner. He's not nothing to sneeze.
That's what I'm saying. He's going to be like, I think he's going to be eventually of that caliber. I think he's going to be eventually
okay,
of that
let's,
caliber.
Let's,
that's just my personal
opinion. Let's say this. When Peterson came out, certain cornerbacks we've seen come out, like Antro, Rowe, Peterson, there's been questions about them going number one just because they're a talent. You know, Patrick Peterson, talent-wise, people are saying that he could be a number one pick when he came out, even over Cam Newton, talent-wise.
Yeah.
Nobody's saying that about D. Milner.
Yeah, they didn't even post it up as high as saying, like, yeah, Milner's that type of guy as a yep, or even all year. I ain't hearing nothing much pub about him like that.
Because it's early. You'll hear about it close to the draft. That's the thing.
No, you heard
about Peterson his whole senior year, man. I mean, last year.
Okay. I mean, I guess he's not like, I mean, Patrick Peterson's more of a flashier player. What's his name? D. Milner he's more of a quiet guy, like a Nnamdi Asomugha. He's not really a flashy kind of a guy. So you're not gonna hear more about him. I mean, like, you know, like top five, like a Champ Bailey. I think he went top five.
I'm talking about talent, though, man.
That's what I'm saying. Usually talent, they're gonna be flashy kind of guys.
Let's look at last year. We all know Andrew Luck was gonna go number one because he was the best quarterback. But talent-wise, people were saying Trent Richardson could have went number one. Talent-wise, people were saying Justin Blackman could have been at number one. You know what I mean? Nobody's saying that about this cat, you know.
Give it time, man. Give it time. We'll hear more about him closer to the draft, man. All
right,
hold on.
I think to what James was saying about Manti Te'o. I think, really, you know, he had all that hype and everything before going to the championship, and after that championship performance, though, I think – you know, even with the story not coming out, I think he might would have slipped maybe down to a mid to a late first round. Now, you know, since he was in that status of being a late first round pick, I don't even know, to this story or whatever, all this other stuff now, he might not even get drafted in the first round.
Maybe not
the second round either.
Hey, we got to push. All right. Let me put you on hold. Oh, well, never mind. James is off. Let me get Watley back here. 813.
tough, people.
I got you next, DT. I got you next, DT.
I don't have to sit and defend myself. It's simple. When I went to the University of Florida, I had LBs and their friends that were on the football team that were first-round draft picks and still in the NFL today. So I know superstar athletes. I also know national championship athletes who knucklehead we talking about never got to be. So I know big-time athletes. And I also know that the University of Florida and any university is not allowed to treat any athlete more special than another. So as much as you can sit and say that the university is going to do this, that, the other, this university is going to give every athlete the same pair of shoes, the same sweatshirts, the same hat, because you can't give one athlete one more hat than you give the other athlete, or else this school itself will be under suspension. And don't tell me that you're saying that they treat him differently. They don't treat him no differently than they treat all the other athletes.
Well, in regards to exposure, I mean, Manti Te'o is going to be on the front of the cover of their recruiting magazine.
Not even Clavel. Now we're starting to get into another crazy conversation. This isn't even about exposure. Manti Te'o is treated differently than other athletes on their campus. Maybe they're not giving him more, but he's treated differently than other athletes on their campus. If you don't you don't know anything about what you're talking about.
Hold on. He's treated differently in what sense? Like, give an example.
In whatever sense you got.
I disagree.
No, what I'm saying is he's not going to get more stuff. I mean, he may get more attention. He's going to get more attention than everybody else on the team if you're talking about in terms of that's how he's being treated differently.
People take pictures of him and stuff. But that ain't the school.
Yeah, you talking about that?
School ain't going to treat him no more differently.
Or you saying he's going to get away with more stuff? Are you saying he's going to get away with more stuff than other people would? He's going to get away with those lies in comparison to other teammates? Just answer the question.
I'm saying this. If we're all in the cafeteria with Manti Te'o and there's only one sandwich left, Manti Te'o is getting that sandwich. They're going to give it to
him.
No, he's not.
I see what Mike is getting at, though. I see Mike's angle.
I mean, it's not even a question. I don't care who you know. You don't know what you're talking about. It's not even a question.
Okay,
like, I mean,
I guarantee you, if the school gives Manti Te'o that sandwich, the school will be on suspension. How many times have you heard about these boosters giving athletes stuff and the school turning their head to it? I had two of my LBs kicked off the football team just for that. I promise you, the school is not involved with giving Manti Te'o anything more special than they give any other athlete. I guarantee.
Okay, so football players don't live in different dorms than regular athletes do?
They might live in the newer dorms, but they're no more special than the other dorms. No.
What?
Living in dorms with 80-inch laptops and shit like that. No.
Well, they're not living in different dorms than
any
other
students. You
treat them
differently than you treat the other students.
Okay,
Oh,
man, you're not going to
have to. Not at Notre Dame. Actually, at Notre Dame, they don't do that. The athletes live in the same dorms as the students. In most schools, they live in different dorms. But places like Notre Dame,
Vanderbilt. No,
they had a story about that on Outside the Lines.
Your
what are you talking about?
Your roommate is going to be another football player. You're not going to be.
But the football dorms aren't going to be
that's
named
not true.
Hold on. Let me finish.
That's not true.
At FAMU, where we all went, football players stayed in what those apartments they had over there?
No, they stayed in Sampson. What are you talking about?
They said something at Sampson, too.
They said no football player stayed in Paddyford.
I guess not. But yeah, I don't remember them staying in Paddyford. I remember them staying at Sampson and Young. That's where I remember them staying.
At USC, football players stay at Heritage Hall.
Yeah, they stay in a specific dorm at USC. Callie Mike, what I'm saying is, yeah, most schools, they do that. But there are, like, the school like Notre Dame and Vanderbilt, they don't do that.
It don't matter, though. At Florida State, them football players live on that big dorm that's behind that campus.
Yeah, they do.
Okay.
All right,
if you think that Matty Tao is not treated differently at that school than any other student, you're crazy.
I guarantee you he's not.
He's talking about in terms of benefits, he's probably not. But you're talking about in terms of exposure, he's treated differently. Yeah, he's more popular.
Exposure,
but anyway.
That's not the school. The school is not exposing him. Everybody
that's why I disagree with you.
On.
That's why I disagree
but
with you for a while.
If giving him something from
on,
the
man.
School,
foolish,
he's
man.
Not going to be given anything from the school
more than
anybody else.
Yeah. All right, let's see what DT has to say about this. Hold on. Let me put DT here, put you back on hold here for a second.
Please.
Hey. Well, DT, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's up?
First of all, a lot of those football players of FAMU live in Palmetto Phase 3. Way in the back over there, off-campus apartments, but it still belongs.
Thank you.
They did. Yeah. I know some of them are but I know most of them stayed up back that way, though.
Yeah. I mean, other than that, I mean, I'm not sure why he's arguing here. Let's say we agree that the school can't treat them any differently because they might get in trouble. What does that have to do with everybody else? What does that have to do with Peter Warrick and Lavernius Coles going to get some clothes for free because the girl at Dillard's wants to give them clothes?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, from that standpoint, yeah, they're going to be treated differently. But I think Wiley was saying the university can't treat them differently. That's what I think Wiley was getting at.
I agree with that, but people are people. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
I mean,
I understand that.
What if Jerry Sandusky, who has written, you know, all kinds of books, he's in all kinds of coaching books and stuff, people have looked up to Jerry Sandusky over the years, being a defensive coordinator, a linebacker, you know, what if that was Joe Schmo's coach? They would have locked him up quick. You know,
instantly.
Jerry Sandusky all of a sudden was under the, you know, they hid that. Why? Because people are people. I mean, I'm just saying. So,
okay.
Like maybe University of Florida is a different program, but like I say, look at FSU. At all our time at being on FSU's campus, I seen one football player, and that was Adrian McPherson. That's because he used to be out causing trouble. Have you ever seen Peter Ward just walking around the campus, or any of the other guys just walking around?
No, Peter Ward had an escalator and stuff. You know, they say always came through FAMU, and you know, you had no woman coming through picking them up.
Yeah.
I mean, back to the draft, I was going to tell you that what I like in the draft is looking at these underdog guys who maybe have gotten in trouble or some that people forget about. Like, you know, I always want to know what happens to them, like friggin' Honey Badger. What the hell? What's going on with that guy? What about Greg Reed? You know, Greg Reed would have been a top draft pick, I think, if he would have stayed at Florida State.
Yeah.
Where are these guys going to go? What's going to happen?
Yeah, a lot of... Yeah, all the hype last year, I mean, playing well. And now you don't even hear nothing about him now. We went to that other school, and then he got hurt last year.
I just think, you know, what if they start selling themselves and get some hype? Where might they end up? So,
I mean, do you think Greg Reed could be like a Janoris Jenkins? Because I think he came in and did pretty well with the St. Louis Rams.
I think Greg Reed is a football player. You know, you guys know I'm a Florida State fan, so... When you watch, if you like Xavier Rhodes, you think Xavier Rhodes is good or whatever because he's 6'2 and big and can play corner. I promise you, Greg Reed is better. I promise. You know, he's smaller, but he's got what those guys need. He's a playmaker. He's a playmaker, and he's kind of, you know, ratty. He'll come up and hit you. So I think Greg Reed's a dang good player.
So is there any sure,
I didn't think that much of Honey Badger, but I mean, I saw some people that had him going as early as the third, second draft, maybe. I mean, early as third, second round, maybe. I didn't think that much of him as a player, but you know, there are going to be guys like that are going to come up. You know, guys that have transferred. Like I say, you're going to see I can't think of his name who got kicked out of Tennessee and he transferred to Tennessee State.
Yeah, I know you're talking about Patterson. Not Patterson, but
Derrick
Rogers.
Yeah, you're gonna see a cat like him come out.
you know, maybe Isaiah Crowell, who knows, what's it, Michael Dwyer, Auburn. I mean, you're going to see, you know, you're going to see different cats, you know, who maybe didn't play this year. You're going to see a lot of that. I mean, you know, just like Bryce, you know, Bryce Brown for the Eagles, you know, he didn't play his senior year. I don't think he played his junior year either, you know, but he came out, you know, made the NFL squad, you know, because of his talent. So, you know, I think you're going to see a lot of that, especially with the more you guys get in trouble, you know. You know, only takes one team to fall in love with a guy to get drafted, so, you know.
All right.
I think Alabama's cheating. There's no way they can be that good every year.
You think they're paying players? I don't think so, man. I don't think so. I think the
DT, it's coaching, man. Saving, man. You saw what he did at LSU before he left. I mean, it's coaching, man. Of course, Alabama speaks for itself, but it's a lot with Saving. They winning, man. Like y'all had it at Florida State. You know, about them days.
I think he's a good coach, but. Damn,
he's a great coach. Not good. He is a great coach and a recruiter.
I think they're great recruiters above anything else. I think they're great recruiters. I think you need players. If you're going to coach and be a great coach or whatever, you need players at the end of the day, and he's a great recruiter. I mean, I've heard all kinds of weird little things about that guy, man. Like he doesn't like his shower, but 35 degrees, you know. He freaking won't go to the bottom of the – for like a Gatorade, he won't go to the bottom of the thing to get it. He'll make somebody else go get it because he's too high and mighty to get it. He's a weird dude, but yeah, he wins. I don't know. I just think he's cheating. That's all. I just want to win another championship. That's all. I'm throwing it out there.
You never know. I mean, it could, like I
so
said,
you got
coaches like Nick Saban, you know. Pete Carroll when he was at SC, Butch Davis, you know, even John Calipari in college basketball. You know, you have coaches that can win and get top recruits. You're gonna get a lot of questions. And you know, like I say, who's I mean, you know, like I say, people know what goes on behind the scenes of college football. You know, everybody wants to act surprised when a scandal comes out and this player
got
this, but everybody knows that these cats, you know. So, I mean, everybody knows that everybody's getting a little taste of something. So, I mean, it's not, you know, to me, you know, I don't like it when everybody tries to act up. And, you know, we're all surprised. I mean, if Saban came out with 30, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you know, that's
like I said, we've seen it.
That should be accepted.
There's a factor,
you know?
Though,
I mean,
that everybody
accepted,
wants
I mean,
to be a winner. I mean,
it
doesn't really have to be cheating. I know a guy from here. D. Hart, who played at Dr. Phillips, and D. Hart wasn't even supposed to go to Alabama. You know, he was recruited by Alabama. But he wanted to go to Alabama so bad, and Alabama said, well, if this guy doesn't show up, then we'll sign you. And so eventually they signed him, but obviously, I mean, D. Hart is hurt. But I'm just saying, sometimes you have that factor of just being a winning team, and everybody wants to go there. So.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's coming. He's next in line. That's why I was telling people about him, T.R. And it's a clean. And what that guy named our defensive back? He's a freshman who got an interception. And that's a he's gonna be a future first rounder, right? You think?
Whatever. You know what? He's talented as hell. I mean, he's just big, tall, and fast. I mean, you can't teach that or
exactly.
anything. Yes, I mean, he's a future star. I mean, he really is. I mean,
yeah, Mark Barron or Ed Reed Jr.
played everything. And
come on
so,
now, stop. Stop that Ed Reed Jr. stuff.
Okay, all right. I mean, that was a stretch for Ed Reed Jr.
That
was a stretch. I won't lie to you. That was a stretch. But, hey, he's up and coming, man. He was just a freshman. He was starting. He's just a freshman. But anyway.
At Alabama,
exactly. He was starting this year. He had an interception in the national championship game. So I'm just saying, you know, I mean, they're stacked. All of them are stacked, man. So, I mean, I see another national championship in the next 2 years between them. So, I mean, Miami.
Look, you know, I would love to disagree. Me in the past would disagree with you. But shoot, man, they're recruiting like crazy. They just got that kid from Yulee. That dude is like 260 pounds, 6'3", runs a dang 4'4". I mean, I don't see how you – every single running back wants to go there. I just don't see how you compete with these guys right now. I don't know what the heck's going on, but everybody wants to go there.
They said they might not even play him that running back. They might try to put that backer or something.
Man, linebacker? It don't matter. Whatever he plays, he'll be just fine.
All right, man. Hey, let me put you on hold here, man. I got James here on hold. And I got you too, Wally, coming up, all right? Hold up. Let me put you on hold. James, I got you next, Wally.
Yeah, I have a question. In reference to this thing about, you know, football players being treated differently or not, for athletes in general, I mean, how could, you know, that be the case when you have, you know, cases of, you know, different schools with big programs have these, you know, top-of-the-line facilities for, you know, basketball players or football players that regular students can't have on one side. And on the second side, when it comes to discipline, how come some football players could get more of the slack than others? I mean, I could go all the way back to Florida State when they had the little Dillard's incident with Peter Warwick and Lavernius Coles. Lavernius Coles was gone for the season.
You
got
to go,
Lavernius.
You know what I'm
saying?
Yep. Good point.
You got kicked off. That's different. I remember that situation. Lavernius Cole had prior situations. That's why he was dismissed.
Yeah.
So I can't really compare that.
But
I mean, I kind of get what he's saying, but, you know, he's the same thing. But, of course, Peter Warwick was the guy, main guy, you know, the big superstar. So, of course, they were going to keep him.
Yeah. So, I mean,
so that's my thing. I mean, if you're going to have something like that or people that had, you know, multiple chances like Maurice Claret, who really didn't want to play for Ohio State in the first place, even when he pretty much was there as a freshman, he wanted to play in the NFL, but he was still getting in trouble and he still covered it up until he was gone from Ohio State.
True. They were coming
like
up.
If somebody could get arrested for petty theft or, you know, getting some benefits when they aren't supposed to, but, you know, athletes get it covered up.
I mean, like I said, I know what goes on with major athletes at major schools. That's Tony Whiteley. You gotta convince of that. I mean, like I said, I don't know what goes on at University of Florida that make it different than any other school. Maybe it is. I don't know. But, you know, like I said, I know what Manny Te'o was doing at Notre Dame. I know that much. But I know that he's in charge of that school. You know, like I said, I don't know. Maybe it's different schools or different situations, or University of Florida is different than every other school in the country. But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I want to beat that to the ground.
All right. Let me put you back on hold here, James. We're gonna change the subject here. I got you up here, Wiley. We're gonna get into NFL. Now. What do you think is going to happen with the games this weekend? Let's go over the games this weekend. First of all, Patriots versus Ravens. Who do you have and why? Let's start with you, Chi-Town.
Well, I said it since first Sunday that the Patriots was my Super Bowl pick out of the AFC, and then, of course, I had them in the AFC Championship. And they just, like I said, I'm well with them, you know, all to the point. I think you all know Tom Brady, who he's the best quarterback in the NFL, or if not the best, he's in the top three. And I just think he has a number for the Ravens, and he's going to do his thing in Foxborough. This man wants to win another Super Bowl, you know, and the old saying, third is a charm, since he lost the last two, and this is going to be the third time, and the third is a charm. And that offense in New England is pretty dang good, you know. The weapons they got, you know, Broncos going to be out, but, man, they playing, man, and I just don't think the Ravens really shouldn't even be at this point going to the AFC Championship. I just think it was some bad coaching with the Broncos and some mental errors. Like, you know, that big old 70-yard play. I mean, come on, man. That was crazy. I mean, that was the secondary coach, of course, lost his job. And they promoted somebody. I don't know if y'all heard, which we all know something was going to change right there. But, you know, I think the Ravens just, you know, capitalized on a big opportunity like that. But I think their luck is going to run out against New England, though. But I wouldn't be surprised if they make it a game. But, you know, I just think it's Tom Brady, you know. But they're going to have another chance to win. Joe Flacco is going to have to play, a lot much better than he played against the Broncos, excuse me. So I think he's going to have to play better and play super. But Tom Brady, New England, Super Bowl.
All right, Tex, what's your take on it?
I'm gonna go with New England. I just think that with Hernandez, Welker, the backs out of the backfield, you know, the Ravens sometimes they get into these situations. They struggle with the linebackers and pass coverage, much like Houston. I think New England has a game plan to get these backs, get these small receivers, get the Welker on these linebackers, get them matched up just like they did against Houston and just take advantage of it. And I have a hard time betting against Brady and Belichick on their own turf. I got New England.
Right. Callie, what you got? Callie, Mike.
Just one more thing, not to mention.
Oh, yeah.
I was just going to mention that New England's run defense is extremely good. So, you know, they're going to force, they're going to make Baltimore be one-dimensional, and I think that dooms Baltimore because it's not what they want to be, one-dimensional.
A whole lot of pressure on Joe Flacco, too. So, you know, is he ready? Is he ready to take it to that step with just beating on New England himself without having no, you know, Ray Rice?
Right. Callie, Mike, you got an opinion?
I gotta go with the Pats, too. I think this is going to be Ray Ray's last chance. The Pats, you know, they just, you know, it's funny because they started off slow at the beginning of the season, and, you know, everybody's wondering, is there a problem in New England? And then I think they ran off like, you know, 7-8 straight games before they lost again. So, you know, this is a team, you know, like I said, they've been there before. You know, they got veterans, you know, Wes Welker. You know, he had a really quiet, you know, season this year, but, you know, he had 1,400-some yards, I think, and over 100 receptions again, you know. And, you know, and it wasn't, you know, he had a real quiet, you know, but everybody, you know, he didn't get as much publicity as he did before. Steven Ridley's running the ball good. You know, Brady's going to be Brady. You're always going to get Tom. You know, it's one thing you know, you're going to get Tom Brady. And, you know, I just think that, you know, Flacco, you know, he has, you know, his last game wasn't, you know, he's been kind of off and on. And you can't really be off and on playing against a team like the Pats, especially in a situation like this. So, you know, I'm going to have to go ahead and go with the Patriots.
Yeah, I got the Ravens, man. I got the Ravens. Yeah,
I know.
What was you about to say?
I was going to say, we all know your theory about the defense and the running game. That's why. I'm going to say, I feel too. I mean, Baltimore did beat New England in the regular season, but hey, regular season is nothing. It's the playoffs.
Yeah.
Different game. And New England, too. But hey, it's the playoffs, though.
And Tex, I think you're right, man. New England does have a good rush defense, particularly with that rookie linebacker they got, going to be an all-star. But, I mean, I'm going to have to go with the Ravens.
Yeah. Who are you talking about? Geno Atkins?
It doesn't really have anything to do with Hightower. I mean,
I'm talking about Hightower. But anyway. But what I'm just saying is, I got Baltimore, man. I think they're on a roll right now. They got a lot of weapons. On the offensive side of the ball, and I kind of equate how they're playing right now to the Giants of last year, man. They're playing well. Yeah, they're playing pretty well. So I got Baltimore in a close game, man. Let me see what Watley has to say here. Put Watley on hold. Put Watley on. I got you next, DT. Hold up, Watley.
What's up?
Got you next, DT.
I last week I said it was going to be the home teams that would win it, and Baltimore kind of shocked me, but they lucked out with that 70-yard pass. And then, of course, Peyton Manning did Peyton Manning like Peyton Manning always does and fucks up at the end of the game. Anyway,
okay.
So I'm going to stick with what I said before, and that is the home teams are going to win. New England's going to beat Baltimore. 49ers are going to win their game. And I see 49ers against New England. And I'm going with the 49ers in the Super Bowl.
And Tony, 49ers are going to be on the road. They're going to be in Atlanta.
Well, I see 49ers beating Atlanta because Atlanta can't seem to make it through the playoffs.
Atlanta did get lucky. Atlanta did get lucky, too.
I'm going with the 49ers against the Patriots in the Super Bowl and the 49ers taking it.
You got 49ers taking it.
I know Charlie Mike likes that.
Well, yeah, I think we lost connection with Charlie Mike. He'll call back in a second. But so you got 49ers, basically.
I agree with Tony on that one, too. I think it's going to be New England and San Francisco. And it tends to be that way. I think New England, Tom Brady got motivation, too, because, you know, that was a team Tom Brady idolized and grew up in. You know, San Francisco passed on them. You know, there's a chance he got a little payback on them. And also, he lost the last two Super Bowls. So, third is a charm. Has to be against his hometown team. And two, San Francisco.
You know
and San Francisco.
Kaepernick is coming in there with no fear. He's just like them rookies that you saw this year. They ain't never been there, so they ain't scared of being there. And he comes in there, and he is just off the chain. That's why I think he is going to be the team. They're going to be the team to beat. Is because that guy is in there with nothing to lose. Nothing to lose.
I thought,
he's just showing out.
I said, so they did play New England. He showed poise. You know, we all thought that San Francisco was going to be in a world of trouble going up against New England and having them left there. And he came out, I mean, San Francisco was burying New England going into halftime. And then, you know, New England made that run. So that showed a lot right there. I think, to me, that could have been a game right there, you know, to do that on the road. And that was a prime time game. That really gave
that man
a lot more confidence.
That was a preview of the Super Bowl to me.
I didn't think at that time it would. But now, yeah.
All right. You got any opinion on that, Cali Mike?
I kind of got disconnected from last time. Tony cursed so hard, my phone shut off. Yeah. I mean, are we talking about Colin Kaepernick and the 49ers?
It led to that, but we were talking about who the New England and Baltimore.
Yeah, we were talking about that, you know.
AFC.
I don't think Flacco has it in him. You know, if we're leading into talking about the Niners, I mean, I'll let Clausell restart it off, but I just want to say that I'm so glad I was wrong about Colin Kaepernick. You know, a text was telling me about him. I was skeptical, but you know, the kids came out and balled out, and you know, I'm looking forward to see what they're gonna do.
But he was your team. That's why, Mike, you were skeptical because they made that change in your team. Thing like, what the heck are your team doing?
Yeah,
that's why we got you on that, Mike. Yeah, I was like, wow. Right now, I have to say that maybe Jim Harbaugh, most likely, you know, God, what happens? He's the guy he probably could say for being coach of the year because, man, at that time, everybody thinking, what the heck is Jim Harbaugh doing and making that switch like that? And now they won a game away going to the Super Bowl. And even they say they don't even get there. He still might could get it.
Yeah. All right, let me put you on hold. I got another call here. Let me get DT here.
I'll say this. Let me say this point. I was going to post it on Facebook and say this. I'll say this, though. Regardless of what happens with San Francisco, I think San Francisco is back the team they were in the 80s. You know, I couldn't stand that same team in the 80s, you know, because, you know, the Bears thing should have been ours, but, you know, management, all this other stuff. But San Francisco, though, they're going to be a team that's going to be, you know, competitive and top five way of looking probably for the next, you know, going on 10 years. They got a young defense. Their defense is still young. And then they got a bulldozing offensive line. They can run the ball. They got, you know, a heck of a tight end and a receiver. And now you got a young quarterback who right now, I mean, if he keeps his play up, they're going to definitely be favorites for the next several years. But I think they're going to be competitive for the next 10 if they keep that team together.
All right.
The only thing that worries me about that, Mike, tell you the truth, is Niners are going to have a lot of guys that are going to have to resign, including Aldon Smith. So that's the only thing that can be, you know, I think it could throw a hitch in it. But yeah, they do have a young team.
All right. Let's see what DT has to say. What's your take on this?
Yeah, I mean,
First of all, it was funny how Clauzel just snuck in the Giants. You hear that? How he just snuck in the Giants?
Yeah.
That was hilarious.
Yeah, that's right. But but the Giants did get some luck, though. But the Giants did have some luck, though, last year, though. They had some luck.
I think New England's just a better team. I think it's over for Ray Lewis. I think, you know, Ray Lewis can go back to killing or whatever. That was his old occupation. He's a killer, literally. He kills people. That's what he does. And
oh, you wrong, man.
Why? How was that wrong? He's a killer. That's what he does.
Yeah,
he kills people.
He's wrong. Ray Lewis is wrong for doing it.
Exactly. He kills people. That's what he does. It's not my fault. I'm just bringing up what he did. Anyways, San Francisco. I think San Francisco got it. I just think Atlanta is new money, and new money don't know how to act. They don't know how to spend it. So I think, yes, Kaepernick is kind of new, but he's all right. He's on a team that knows what's going on. They know what to do, so I think they're going to take it to Atlanta.
All right.
I just think of all the games, that might be the game that is going to probably be a blowout, man, because this, I mean, like I said, I was, you know, arguing with some people on Facebook on Sunday. I mean, Atlanta, they kind of did play like a soft schedule this year, and teams, they struggled against some teams that, I mean, they're supposed to be, you know, being the number one team in the seed, but their record, like I said, don't let their record mislead them, because I don't think they're good as their record. You know, I look at some of the teams they play, like the Arizona at home. Man, Ryan throws 4 interceptions, and they were down, but they come back. But then they barely beat them, though. That's a team you should blow out. You're supposed to be the, you know, the best team out of the conference. You know, it was just some teams I looked at when they played, like they didn't blow people out. They kind of struggled, you know. And then some teams, they got lucky, like the Redskins game. Man, RG3 ain't got, you know, left the game, and they was winning. Redskins most likely would have got them. And then that Carolina game when they played the other time, Carolina, I mean, had a chance. I mean, they could have went that way. Just, you know, I just was not really, I mean, they got some talent, but I was just not sold on their team like that. Only convincing win they showed me is, I know Clydesdale don't want to hear this, but they did beat the Giants, you know, single-handedly. Uh-huh. They beat them boys up. But
they,
you know,
did,
I told them they beat them up pretty good. I thought that would probably be a game where the Giants come in, you know, get back on track, but man. And then, you know, the Philadelphia, too, they did beat Philly, too. I was shocked, but Philadelphia has been, like, the biggest disappointment, you know, of all the teams in the NFC this year, though. But we all know, just, you know, Philadelphia just, you know, they just don't have no line, and they just didn't play well this year.
All right.
Well,
let me
Chicago's firing good coaches. What's going on with that?
Are you talking? I mean, like I told the guys, I was mixed about it, but, you know, he didn't make the playoffs, and, you know, Lovie Smith been here for almost 10 years, and how many coordinators we got to go through? It's going to be 4, so it's like we see the league now is more being offense, and you got to be able to score points where, you know, we haven't seen the 2000 Ravens, you know, when the last time a defense like that won a Super Bowl, and probably ain't going to see a defense like that. You know, that was, you know, 12 years now, and that's been a decade and 2 years, extra years. So, I mean, the league is just changing. So, really, you know, I mean, he had to get that part together. I wish he could have got maybe another chance, but, I mean, I'm excited about a new head coach.
It's just racism. It's too dark. I'm sorry. It's just what I think.
Lovie Smith might, but you're saying now he might not be a head coach this year. He might sit out this year and might get a chance next year, but, you know, I don't know. He might be in college, though. College might my house at Lovie.
Hold on. Let me put you on hold here, DT. I got to give James some sound here. All right, James. Wobby.
You know what my picks are, man, because I haven't dropped them from the beginning of the season. It ain't like the Ravens are scared of the Patriots in New England. They beat them in New England before in a playoff game. So I think they'll have the edge in this one. I think they know what they're going into. They know what they have to do on defense, and more importantly, they know what they have to do on offense. Like I said, they were pretty much 1 or 2 players away from beating them in New England last year at the AFC Championship game. But this time, they're going to finish the job.
Okay. All right. So me and James got Baltimore, and I think everybody else got New England. So we'll see.
I say this though. I think Baltimore last year was better than this year, seeing how they've been playing.
Well, yeah, I think
the injuries and stuff, everything, you know, it's just not the same. But still, you know, they found a way. But I just think to me, they've just lucky to be here because we all know we saw, I mean, that game, and I listened to that game. I mean, that game was for the Broncos. It was just Broncos has made some mental errors, and I say coaching. You know, there's no way. Heck, you at home, you have this team playing it way down in their own territory with that much time left, and they had no timeouts, and you let that play go for 70 yards, and then they had a chance to, you know, Peyton Manning had two timeouts, 31 seconds, they kneel the ball. I'm like, man, you just can't explain that, man.
All right, well, I want to change the subject here. I'm going to lead in with you. We're going to get to the San Francisco game. Let me get my opinion. I'm going to keep you on hold here, James, and give your opinion. I think San Francisco will win, but I think hopefully, you know, Matty Ice will be able to, you know, get the ball to Roddy White and Julio Jones. I think, you know, they're going to have a coming out party. I think they'll have good numbers for this game, but I still think San Francisco will pull out only because, you know, they have a solid defense and they'll run the ball, keep Matty Ice off the field as much as possible. But I give it like a 21-17 game to San Francisco.
You forgot about the quarterback, Fizel. I mean, I think he's going to – you saw what he did to Green Bay, and I think Green Bay got, you know, better personnel than what the Falcons have. And you saw what that defense did to Aaron Rodgers. We all know Aaron Rodgers is a much better quarterback than Matt Ryan.
Yeah.
And Aaron Rodgers is MVP, and you see how they got to hell. So I think it's going to be a long day.
Oh yeah, we're talking at the same time. Wasn't it a lot to Kaepernick's speed though? Like Kaepernick's mobility is what kind of let's set the game apart too. Also, because I mean he ran for like over 100 some yards, right?
Yeah.
He almost ran for 200 yards.
Yeah. So, I mean, when you have that, it's more so of his mobility than his arm.
His mobility killed the Packers. The Packers' defense. And I think, and the Falcons do have struggled against mobility quarterbacks, and they definitely going to struggle against them. And I think, and like I say again, you saw what San Francisco defense did to Aaron Rodgers, how, you know, flustered him, I should say. We all know Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback than Matt Ryan, and I think it's going to be a long day and night for Matt Ryan in that game, because they're going to get to him. And San Francisco also is hungry, because, I mean, they got experience this team. You know, he was a player away of going to the Super Bowl last year, so all the experience favors San Francisco as well.
All right, this is I do think San Francisco wins. I'm expecting a closer game. I'm hearing this and that, why Atlanta with this and San Fran with that, but from a schematic point of view, this is an intriguing game. You have the 49ers on defense. Their nickel package with four linemen. I mean, what they do a great job of is getting four guys on the field who can rush the passer. They don't have to bring in extra DBs. They can keep all their linebackers on the field because all of them can run. The things they do up front with that, the twist and the stunts. With Justin Smith, Alden Smith, it all works out. But Atlanta counters this by attacking every single part of the field. Atlanta's playbook. I mean, they screens deep, intermediate, deep middle. I mean they go everywhere with the ball with Roddy White, Julio Jones, slot man, Tony Gonzalez. So you have to be accountable for these guys. And Frisco matches up with that very well. But, I mean, it's like I said, you have to cover all areas. You have to cover the whole field when you play Atlanta. If you don't cover the whole field when you play Atlanta, you'll get beat. On the defensive side of the ball, the Niners, you know, they want to run the rock. But, I mean, they'll go downfield with the ball. You know, chunk yardage they've probably been one of the best chunk yardage offenses in the league by the numbers since Kaepernick took over. You can run on Atlanta, but Mike Nolan on the back end does a lot of different things with those safeties. And with those cornerbacks, two confused quarterbacks, they've been very successful with it this year. Against Peyton Manning, against several other quarterbacks, they do a very good job at disguising coverages. So Kaepernick is going to have to, you know, he might have to hit a few wins. He might have to knock some windows out. You understand what I'm saying? As opposed to what happened in Green Bay, this game is going to have to, he's going to have to see the zone. He's going to have to be patient. He's going to have to check down. You know, he's going to have to do some, do more than what he would do, you know, most other weeks. But all I'm saying is I have Frisco, but it's just, you know, just schematically, this is a terrific matchup on both sides of the ball.
Like I said, I mean, Atlanta, I mean, they skill set players with, you know, Roddy White and, of course, Julio Jones and, of course, Tony Gonzalez and two running the ball. If they're able to get that going, let's say, run the ball well and be able to spread it out and do their thing, then they can make it a game. I'll say the question, also the big question, I mean, I'm not doubting those guys. It's the question is Atlanta offensive line good enough to match up against, for one game to match up against San Francisco's defensive line? If they ever get a chance to do what they do and give Matt Ryan time, then maybe their chances are good though.
Did you just see them against Seattle?
Visualize it. I heard on the radio. I see the first half of it. Yeah. The first half of it, I give it to them. They do what they did. I mean, against Seattle's defensive line. But then what happened in the second half, though?
Yeah, Russell Wilson was going in those intermediate area. He was really picking that apart, man, in the second half.
Well, the Seahawks made adjustments. And it's a West Coast offense. So, I mean, you have what the Seahawks are trying to get done, and then you have a power scheme with the 49ers who want to get the ball deep off of play action. You see what I'm saying? It's really not the same thing you have to be prepared for. You see what I'm saying? If you're Atlanta's defense.
I get it, though, what you were saying, Tex, though, but, I mean, Seattle, I mean, even though the game came out close, though. See, I mean, on that last, I guess I heard about the last touchdown when Matt Ryan made the big throw and they scored. I mean, Seattle defense didn't make that stop, though. I mean, he was able to make that big play where they were saying Seattle could have made that stop, but they obviously came through on that. So I get what you're saying.
All right. Hey, y'all, let me put Watley on here, man. What's your opinion on this Watley conversation?
Tex, you must have loved statistics in college. Because you are all about the statistics. But the thing is, once you get into the playoffs, statistics ain't going to make a difference. Why? Because it's going to come down to the intangibles. It's going to come down to the individual players' will to win, their passion, their willing to finish. It's going to come down to things that you can't mark on an X and an O. You can set up all of these plays and everything all you want, but football, any sport, you can always set it up. Every team sets it up, but it comes down to man on man who wants it the most, and you can't put that on a board, and you can't put that in a stat. And I can tell you right now, the Falcons ain't got the passion that the 49ers got. Did you see what the 49ers did to New England? I guarantee you Atlanta couldn't have done that.
This is the playoffs. You can't guarantee nothing in the NFL.
I guarantee it. Why? Because I saw it. Just like I told you about I saw the heart of a champion in Alabama, you can't measure heart in an X and an O. That's your problem, is you always want to look at the stats, but stats
don't make a case person
to have
a question. Let him speak. I'm not always looking at stats, but did you not just hear what I was talking about when I was explaining the matchup? I was talking about scheme, all right? You didn't hear me talking about any kind of statistics, right?
Okay.
The only thing,
Look here.
Because it is X's and O's. You heard me say that Atlanta attacks the field, and I mean every single part of the field, and that the Niners, while they match up with that, that's what they have to account for. You can talk about heart, you can talk about that all day. It comes down to execution. You didn't hear me mention stats. You heard me.
No, it don't come down to execution. It comes down to passion of the individual matching up man to man. Because when San Francisco gets in its spread offense and gets you man to man, Kaepernick takes off out of that pocket like he is Herschel Walker, and he don't give a damn who you think you are. He gonna run on you.
Wiley, man, I don't know what your deal is tonight.
Well, put your money where your mouth is, bro.
We don't advocate gambling on the show.
Stats will beat my passion. Put your money where your mouth is.
We don't advocate gambling, y'all.
Over Atlanta, you wanna put your money where your mouth is?
No, we're not gonna bet on it, Wiley. We're not gonna bet.
I think it's getting illegal. So I'm taking Jamal, I mean Tex.
You're going with Atlanta. Oh yeah, you said you're going with San Francisco. Oh, my bad. But
no,
you just like the matchup.
I took Frisco, but you know, your boy says I'm pouring the stats. I was just explaining the matchup. You understand what I'm saying? Because in the NFL, it is all about matchups. You understand
and
what I'm saying?
And all 32 teams know how to do it. They all got the same plays and the same schemes.
No, they don't. It's all about New England getting running backs and getting tight ends on these slow linebackers that the Ravens and the Houston Texans have. You understand what I'm saying? It's about the Falcons with the tight end, with the wide receivers, with the slot man, and Jacquees Rogers trying to get these San Francisco linebackers in space. You understand what I'm saying? And keeping the pass
rushers off of that line. And they don't play 17 games this year, and you don't think the other team that they're going to play this week ain't seen it?
Look, it don't matter. I'm not in charge of that. They go play the game. I'm telling you about the matchup. That's what I'm on here talking football. I'm talking about a matchup. You understand what I'm saying? I ain't talking about numbers. I ain't talking about stats.
All right, Wiley, I'm putting you on hold. We're going to put BP here. I see what both of y'all saying, though.
I mean, what he's saying in that, you know, I see what you're getting at. I think Tony's saying with the passion, the fire, like he saw with San Francisco did and then with New England that did, I guess, when they played Houston. He just like, man, they just tore him up. We just saw that in him. I kind of get what he's saying. But then, again, it is matchups, though. I mean, some teams, like, you better than that guy or that team. If a team can't match up with you guys, then you're going to see how it gets. And obviously last week, Green Bay just, they couldn't match up with San Francisco. You saw how they got plastered.
Well, I mean, what it is, Mike, is, you know, like Tex said, it's about execution, man. At a certain level, once these guys reach the NFL, hopefully, you know, like Brett Buckner said, even get the lead, you got to want that desire to win and have it burning inside you. But, you know, to play in the NFL, you got to execute. You got to execute the plays. You can want to win and be out there getting your butt kicked or not know what you're doing or going crazy or, you know, but, I mean, execution is what it's going to come down to. You know, and that's football. I mean, you know, all the other stuff, desire and will to win and eye of the tiger or whatever, you know, Tony's talking about, yes, that matters, but, you know, it comes down to execution. That's football.
All right.
You know, whether anybody likes it or not.
Let's let DT get in here. What's your take on this?
Yeah, I think styles make fights, you know, and that's just me being an old boxing fan, and I think Tex talking about the matchup, like you said, and styles make fights. I mean, if you just want to jump to a different sport, I mean, you could just say that nobody thought Muhammad Ali was going to beat George Foreman, but it was his style. You know, he suckered him in, wore him out. When he got worn out, he started pummeling him. It's just styles make fights, and that's what happens in football. I think it's interesting because I know I've had conversations with many of people about, you know, and I, like 5 years ago, 7 years ago, I'd be like, why aren't these, like, spread offenses in the NFL yet? What's going on? It's like, oh, it's not going to work. Well, now everybody's kind of, you can see a lot of teams are rolling to a spread. A lot of these teams have these running quarterbacks now. I mean, one of these guys haven't won a Super Bowl yet, so you're not sure if it's working yet. But I'm just saying, a lot of these teams, I mean, you see Russell Wilson having success, Kaepernick having success. I personally think it's great. That's one. I think, you know, what if those older guys, you know, Charlie Ward were in this era? You know, how much fun they could have had. But I do think just styles make fights, and that's what's going to happen. You're going to see these styles match up against each other. Whoever style is better than the other one wins.
All right. So do you think, in regards to, you mentioned the spread offense, do you think this is going to last for a while in the NFL, like 15, 20 years? Is this going to be like the new?
I do.
You think so?
I don't know about 20 years. I don't know about 20 years, but here's the concept is very simple to understand. You spread a team out. You're trying to find matchups. All these NFL teams want to run a 4-3, most of them. And if you spread them out that way and you get these linebackers spaced out, like Tex was saying, you get these linebackers spaced out on a slot receiver, they're going to have trouble. That's a one-on-one matchup that they probably aren't going to do real well in. And as long as that is going to continue, as long as you got that matchup, you're going to keep doing it as a coach. So, I mean, it could last as long as it wants to. I mean, nothing in football lasts, I would say, 20 years. Just about. Nothing is that popular for that dang long. So 20 years is a while, but I mean, somebody will run it. You know what I'm saying? Somebody will have it in their scheme.
Yeah.
I think it'll last until the athletes start changing to adapt to it. You know, until you start seeing, you know, fast half the linebackers. You know, I mean, we're like, you know, like we said last week about Ray Lewis. We're not even really, you know, the big kind of stuff for linebackers anymore. You can see guys, you know, 220, 210, you know, who can hang with some of those, you know, who can hang with, you know, a spread offense. And, you know, so I think, you know, once the players adapt to it, you know, just like how, you know, players, you know, football adapts itself to a power running game. Now you really don't see that many power running games. You know, it's kinda, you know, football changes and, you know, the players are gonna change with it. You know, nothing, you know, like PT said, nothing with football lasts forever. You know,
what's your take on it,
Tex?
I think the spread, I mean, in the league, it shouldn't be a difficult offense to stop. It's not a difficult offense to stop. It should be stopped. The problem is the coaching. And it's half the reason why, besides Chip Kelly, is why, and a couple of others, is why these coaches, they stay in college. Because why? You can run a spread option, you can have success. In the NFL, it should be shut down, but the coaching is down on a widespread level in the league. I mean, there should be no reason for a spread option to even have any type of success. You know, it's you know, in the league, how you win, you think about it, you know, teams stay disciplined. If you can, I mean, grown men should be able to stay disciplined for 60 minutes in a ball game. You have success with the spread because coaches aren't in the ears of their players when they play the 49ers and like, okay, hit Kaepernick every play, or somebody's playing the Redskins, the coach is not, okay, hit Robert Griffin every single play. You understand what I'm saying? There's, I mean, he's Kaepernick and Robert, I mean, they, every single play they should be hit. You understand what I'm saying? Every single play. I don't know why the coaches aren't pounding this.
Well, Seth, I would like to agree with you, but it's just hard. You know, you listen to how these commentators are, you listen to the referees and all that, and, I mean, it honestly looks like they could ban football in the next 20 years the way they're acting. And so I know, yes, that is what coaches – that's what coaches want to say. Hit him in the face. I don't care if he has the ball. You got him. I got you. You know, that makes total sense. But these guys don't let you hit the quarterback like that anymore. They just don't, you know.
Yeah.
So,
Yeah, that's true.
Well, what about this? Okay, you got Cam Newton, you know, 6'5", 240. You got Colin Kaepernick, 6'5", you know, 230. Those kind of guys can maybe take that kind of beating. Aren't guys like Robert Griffin showing maybe that the slender quarterbacks like a Mike Vick size, you know, they really can't even take those kind of hits to run this kind of offense in the league?
Yeah, I've thought to myself when I seen Robert Griffin take some hits in college, I was like, man, I don't know if he's going to last the way he takes those hits. You know, I think you're going to need a smoother guy that's going to get down on the ground when he needs to get down. You know, some of those guys who take those hits, they're definitely not going to last. I mean, I agree with that. But somebody like Cam, you know, that's a man right there. I don't know. He's just as big as everybody else, so I don't know. He might last a
while. Yeah, like Michael Vick, like we all know, you know, his durability and finally not there to stay healthy. And they talking now, well, you know, will he be the guy, you know, now that Chip Kelly is there, they still saying, you know, and that's the money thing, and then will he be able to run that type of offense, but, you know.
And we're going to get into Chip Kelly in the last segment here. Let me put you on hold here and put you back on the last segment. Hold up. Let me put James here on here.
Oh, boy. Oh, man. Hey, first off, let me start off by saying this. Ernest Bynum and Jamal Lewis are better running backs than Thurman Thomas and Barry Sanders. Right?
What? Oh, I think that was a joke. That was a joke. All right. That was a joke.
I told him, wait, what did he say I could hear?
Even though they were okay backs, they were. Oh, okay. I see what you're saying. They won Super Bowls. They won Super Bowls, and you said Thurman Thomas and Barry Sanders, they didn't win Super Bowls. I got the joke.
All right. Now, in reference to the San Francisco-Atlanta matchup, now, coming off of what happened last week, many people really weren't sold on Atlanta even beating Seattle, and they pretty much were close to being right because Seattle had the matchup problems that, you know, Atlanta couldn't, you know, contain in the second half. Now against San Francisco, they pretty much have to deal with the same thing that they've been having trouble with all season with mobile quarterbacks and, you know, what are they going to do? Are they going to throw the ball? Are they going to run the ball? Are they going to give it to the running back? You know, what is that quarterback going to do? On the opposite side of the ball, I really believe that the 49ers can match up with their receivers and tight ends with the linebacker, safeties, and corners. So I really think that this thing will not be as close as many people may realize. I think that San Francisco might win by 10 points or so, and it won't even matter if Julio Jones has a great game like you wish he would, Carville, but they still are going to lose the game. Baltimore, San Francisco in the Super Bowl, like I said, at the beginning of the season. I got to go down with my picks.
You said that at the beginning of the season, Baltimore, San Francisco?
Yeah, I'm all for, man.
You said it on the show?
Yeah, man.
All right, wow, man. Wow, it's pretty good. We might have to look that up, but wow, that's pretty good.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, we do have to go look up our whole picks.
Yeah, we're going to look up the whole picks. We will. Yeah, we will the week before the Super Bowl. We'll make a show about that.
But, I mean, I said the Cowboys would make the playoffs. I was wrong in that first game, but I did say the Cowboys would make the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So I know I was wrong. I said the Jets were going to make the playoffs, so.
Yeah, that was it. Well,
I think the Jets are winning that division. I think in that division, I don't know. I can't remember about the Jets.
All right, hold on. Let me let Watley.
Because I had two coming out the north, so no, I didn't.
I'm gonna put you back on hold here, James. Let me get Watley in here before we get on our last topic. All right, Watt.
All right, you were talking about how teams and things will change in the next 20 years. I think what's changed from the past 20 years, and this is me talking from having played football since I was in elementary, middle, high school, and I went into the military, but fundamentals of football are different in the NFL than they used to be. Filling gaps. Staying behind the deepest person,
tackling instead of trying to strip the damn football. I get more frustrated when I watch a football game on Sunday when I see a running back get hit and then go 10 more yards before he actually gets tackled because they're trying to strip the ball instead of tackling him.
That is true. That's true. That is true. I'll give you that.
Fundamental football needs to come back to the NFL. And I think if there's one thing that's going to change in the 20th or in another generation or so, is coaches are going to go back to fundamentals. Tackle the damn guy. Wrap him up. Stop trying to just rip the ball out. Wrap the boy, the guy up and tackle him.
All right. Any take on that, Tex?
Nah, man.
I mean, I think he has a point a little bit. I mean, with that right there.
Of course he does, but that just goes back to what I was saying about the spread. Coaching, I mean, it's coaching is down in the NFL. But another thing is, you know, the CBA takes time away from these coaches for them to work on stuff like this. You understand what I'm saying? So
what's the CBA? Collective bargaining agreement? What's CBA?
Collective bargaining agreement.
CBA, collective bargaining agreement.
It takes time from the coaches?
It cut down OTAs.
You can't practice in you know, pads and all that going full strength.
But it needs to be taught from Pee Wee League, and I mean it needs to be drilled on all levels of football. It doesn't just start in the NFL. You know, these guys at some point learn how to tackle before they got to the NFL. You know what I'm saying? I mean it's all about really drilling this thing, keep his head when they're little. But it's like I was saying, there's no time to practice on just the little minor details anymore because you have to give guys days off. You see what I'm saying?
But everybody also is trying to be superheroes. They want that 5 minutes in the spotlight every single game. So instead of tackling, they're trying to strip the ball and get interceptions. And instead of playing fundamental football, they are trying to be heroes and superstars. And that's how that guy got behind the guy for Baltimore. He's out there trying to intercept the ball instead of playing defense. And all of a sudden, he gets beat, and it's a touchdown, and Denver loses the game because he's out there trying to be Captain America instead of playing his damn position.
Mm-hmm. I want to add a perspective that I've been noticing about football and really sports in general. It seems like there's kind of a football is starting to become has been taking more of a laid back, you know. I don't want to say lazy. I just you know, but it's a lot more relaxed. And I think we're starting to see a lot more athletes migrate to football because it doesn't require some of the discipline. Well, it's not requiring anymore. Some of the discipline and training is maybe like basketball or baseball. And, you know, football, like I say, football, you can make it to college on football just based on athleticism. And you can't really do that in, you know, in some of these other sports. And I think a lot of these lazier guys are starting to get into, you know, that's the reason why they're getting into football. So they're not really learning, you know, like say, you know, they're not really learning some of the fundamentals early, you know, to really learn how to play football as opposed to all they need to do is be big and run fast, you know, and I think that's kind of why you're kind of seeing a drop off in athleticism in baseball, and you're really kind of seeing it in basketball too, and you know, but you're starting to see more and more guys, you know, stepping on the football field, even though you know football has a higher risk, you know, higher risk for reward ratio, but I think you're starting to see a lot more guys play that because it's not as disciplined as it used to be. You know, you don't. I mean, look at how they cut down the hell week. So you know, of high school players now. You know what? I think they can only practice like 1 week during the summer now. You know, and you know, when I was in high school, hell week was you know it was a three you know two 3 week camp. You know, where you're there all day. You know, so
yeah.
I think a lot of that has a lot to do with it.
Hmm. Interesting perspective.
I was also add too. I mean, like we were just saying, like you know, we were saying about maybe the game would be like this 20 years with you know quarterbacks and the spread offense, all this type of stuff. We were saying these players too, man. Like with the Falcons, these guys, like these running backs and receivers are getting bigger and stronger than we've seen like over the past. Like we've seen you know 10-15 years where we didn't see guys like Megatron, who's big, and Fitzgerald, and all these other guys, Marshall. So and running backs, you know, Adrian Peterson. You know, and all the other, and Ray Rice, these guys that's just big. So that comes with it, too. Maybe
Ray Rice.
You know, part of the tackle and maybe stripping the ball because they're so hard to bring down, to grab because they're so strong.
Right. Yeah, I kind of agree with Mike, but, you know, I think it's like, you know, like I said, I have a lot to do with, like I said, you know, you take a cat like Megatron, you know, I mean, yes, he's, you know, he's a dominant wide receiver, you know, but it's like, I can see him playing, you know, I can see him being a small forward in the NBA, you know, if he had that skill set to do so. You know, I look at a lot of these guys and it's like, man, it's like this guy, you know, he could be doing something else. You know, a lot of these guys, you know, it's like he could be playing center fielder for the Yankees. He could be, you know, but it's like I said, I think it has a lot to do with they don't want to require the skill, you know, and take the training to do, you know, to do as necessary to play those other sports. And maybe also, you know, some areas don't, you know, a lot of areas don't, you know, supply baseball. You know, like how they used to back in the day. You know, you don't have a lot of little leagues anymore. But you know, every community has a football team, and I think
right.
It just seems like you're getting a lot more athletes geared towards football as opposed to anything else. And you know,
okay.
We're starting to see a higher athleticism level, but less skilled level, maybe.
All right. Let me put you on hold here. We got one more conversation here, but let me put DT on here. 407. I mean, what's
yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
To Mike's point, I think it's not football or sports. I think it's the wussification of America. Okay, and I'm just saying that because you know, I was a PE teacher, and as a PE teacher, they don't want you to play dodgeball anymore. You know, you gotta have new inventful ways to pick teams. It's just a wussification of America. Field day, it's not ribbons and stuff, who's first and second and all that. It's all about everybody gets to have fun. So it's a wussification of America. That's what it is. I mean, in tackling, again, and that's why I said what I said about they might ban football in 20 years. You look at all these crazy rules that just don't make sense. It's like, that doesn't make sense. I watched a state championship game the other day, and they called a legal hands to the face. And the kid behind it gets an interception. They call legal hands to the face for the defensive lineman. Call it back. And now this offense goes and scores and wins the game. It's like, what is that? What is the legal hands to the face? Sounds legal to me. I mean, you put your hand in his face. He can't see. He throws an interception. Sounds great. I mean, so I don't understand. But, I mean, as far as tackling goes, you know, they don't really tackle in college football. They don't. The only time you tackle in college football is spring football. That's the only time you go full speed in the spring. And they're not going ones-on-ones. That's the scout team versus the one. In the NFL, they don't tackle at all. They don't tackle. They tackle 0% in the NFL. The only time you tackle is in Pop Warner, Little League, and in high school football. I coach high school football. Believe me, we friggin' tackle. But as soon as they leave us, my players that go off and play college ball, they don't tackle anymore. I know they don't. They tell me. They tackle on dummies. They tackle on all kinds of stuff except real people. So there is a time where they just forget how to tackle. And, yes, they get good at stripping the ball and stuff like that, and so they feel like they don't have to tackle anymore. But that's not football. I mean, I watched the whole thing earlier this season on how well this guy was. He played for Chicago on how good he was at stripping the ball. And he's stripping the ball with both hands. You know, he's punching the ball out, using both hands to strip the ball. It's like, that's not football. What is that? Football is when somebody wraps somebody up, somebody else comes, and then pops the ball out. But we got to ensure the tackle first. You know, people got to tackle. They got to start putting their shoulder pad on people, but that's not what they want to do. Like you said, they all want to be heroes. They all want to make the play. But, again, they don't tackle since high school. They don't tackle in college. They don't tackle in the NFL. So how are they supposed to tackle? Because they don't learn.
Well, like I said, DT, you being a coach, what do you think about competition level? I mean, do you think
our kids are physically, you know, like how you say how they don't have really have winning or losing. Is that? I mean, what effect do you think it has on competition? I mean, especially you know when you look at sports, you look at you're a big boxing guy. I mean, we're talking about football, but you know you're a boxing guy. You know, look at what happened in boxing. You don't have you have to have a certain hunger to be a boxer, and you have to have a certain skill. And look how that's just pretty much fallen off the map because you don't have guys who have that hunger anymore. You know, and it seems like could that be also happening in football? Do you think? You don't have guys that have the hunger and desire.
I think you're right. I think again, I call it the wussification of America. That's one. The other thing is that they're starting to call this generation the gimme generation, and this generation just they get everything. Everything's on the internet and all that good stuff. You know, I tell my kids or whatever that we didn't have the internet like y'all got the internet. Like I didn't really have the internet in high school like that. in college we did, but. We were just learning how to work a PowerPoint. These guys have everything kind of handed to them, so they don't really need to do much. You know, it's kind of like, the poor kid who has to fight for everything, they're the ones who want to fight more than everybody else. But we have turned into a country, I feel, where nobody really thinks they have to fight that hard anymore, even the poor people. The poor people, everybody got a, even if you don't have a computer, you've got a smartphone. It's just you don't have much to work for anymore, so why work? Everything's given to you.
Interesting perspective.
I totally agree. I totally agree. I mean, if you look at the competition level overall in sports, it's like, the athleticism, yes, people are getting larger and faster, which I think has a lot to do with steroids too, but, you're starting to see competition levels are going down, man. And, maybe that's one of the reasons why the SEC is, a better kind of conference because maybe it's more competitive there. I'll give you guys that, and guys, maybe there's still a little bit more hunger down in that area, for football, and that's why you're seeing a different product, being played at least on the college level coming out of that area. And, I would be one to agree with that. I think that has a lot to say for, for competition levels in the other areas of the country. It's just, starting to get ridiculous.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, you deal with all these right. kids, and it's just amazing what you see. It's like, why didn't you go tackle that guy? Why didn't you try hard? They come up with the oddest excuses in the world. You'd be like, what was that? That doesn't make sense. It's just, they're definitely lacking something.
All right, let me put you on hold here, and we're going to get into our last topic. All right, let me get James in here, and then we're going to get into the Chip Kelly conversation. What's your take, James?
Yeah, just going real quick on it as far as, the whole thing about tackling and all that. I think the whole form of tackling and the amount of aggressiveness in the NFL has been toned down over the past 5 or 10 years. I think the main criticism of, today's NFL and under Roger Goodell is that you really can't be as aggressive as you used to be. You can't really, go that aggressive against receivers or tight ends, trying to catch the ball. You can't really hit the quarterback. And you can't really hit many guys on the run as much as you used to. And with that being said, it's like, I don't know what they're doing as far as, the high school level and the college level, but once you hit the NFL, it's like you have to create a whole other art of tackling in order to not be fined, not be suspended, and so forth for the quote-unquote protection of the game.
All because, too, these concussions and, the past players and all that thing, too, played a role in all that. And like you said, just quarterbacks, hate to say it, we hate to be ahead about the story because it's football, but we all know quarterbacks, the league is being a quarterback-driven league, and it's all about protecting the quarterbacks, too.
Well, breaking news off of Black Sports Online, Arizona's Cardinals' Reagan Maua says he met Manti Te'o's fake girlfriend, and she's real. Just wanted to put that out there.
Who said this?
Y'all heard. Arizona Cardinals' Reagan Maua says he met Manti Te'o's fake girlfriend and she's real. I just wanted to put that out there.
We already know that that's a lie, though, so he's instantly a liar, too. Manti Te'o is just a lie. So,
right. Well, I want to get to my last topic. I want to get into my last topic here. The Chip Kelly situation. As we know, he left Oregon. And he's now headed to the Philadelphia Eagles. I want to know what do you think is going to happen with that situation? Do you think it's a good fit for the Eagles? Let's go with you, James. Let's start with you. What do you think?
Yeah, well, of course, we all know the first thing that Chip Kelly's going to do is go in the NFL draft and take Dean Milner, like you said, right?
Hey, it could happen. That might happen. If they get rid of Nnamdi, they would. But I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, I don't know what type of players he wants. I don't know what type of system he wants to bring. I mean, does he want to bring his system that he had at Oregon to the NFL?
Will they bring a system out there? I mean, going by, you know, some of the past coaches that came from college to the NFL, they tried to bring their system in, and, you know, it had mixed results. So I don't know if what, you know, typically did at Oregon is going to pretty much work in that NFL as far as, like, doing a read option, having the guys at the skill positions and so forth. He would have to, you know, get personnel in order to fit that mold. I don't know how long that would take as far as, you know, the NFL is concerned. This is not like, you know, you could go anywhere in the nation and get those type of players. You have to speak with the general manager. You have to speak with the owner and so forth and see what is available in order to fit what you want to do in the NFL. So it's going to be a wait-and-see approach on that.
Okay. What's your take? What's your take, Shutdown?
Well, I mean, interesting. I mean, the saturation of college coaches coming to the NFL hasn't been too good. The last one who did it was Jimmy. You know, did what he did, so he comes into play. It's going to be interesting since the league, you know, we all see these offenses and stuff, so, but I think it's going to kind of take some time. And I know people in Philadelphia, they anxious and, you know, they don't have that patience. They're going to expect instant results. And they were talking about that today, about the hire. I mean, I think, you know, it's going to probably take some time, you know. First things first, though, I mean, so that's going to get the offensive line together because we all know that line, shoot, you know, it's bad, you know. So until they get that straight, you know, we ain't going to know if it's going to work or not, you know, in the first year or have any type of, you know, some type of success or rhythm to build for the second season. I mean, it's a gamble. I'm glad that my Bears didn't, you know, didn't hire him. You know, nothing against him, but just taking a chance on that because, you know, he don't have no success coming from the NFL. He was never no assistant, had no ties to the NFL. So it's a whole new ball game. I don't know.
Hey, didn't the Bears hire a coach? Yes.
What you say, Mike?
Didn't the Bears hire a coach from the CFL?
Yeah, Mark Trestman, but he had ties from the NFL, though. He was your former offensive coordinator with Frisco, and he was offensive coordinator for the Raiders when they went to the Super Bowl. But at least he had ties from the NFL, though. Chip Kelly ain't never coached from the NFL.
Coach, though, right?
Yeah.
I think that I don't know about this Chip Kelly thing. Like, you know, like Chris said, I think the NFL is hungry for coaches. But I mean, I just don't know. It's, you know, he's, you know, I don't know if the offense can work, you know, especially with Vic. I mean, I don't, you know, it's too many question marks, especially for, you know, to be such a good. That's like the first place to try to, you know, to do something bad, because, you know, not only is it a turn to be there, but the fans are like, quick. So, you know, like I don't know if it's a good situation for him. I mean, you know, you got to take a step to get it, I guess, if you get off with the money, but I really don't see that working out that well. But, you know, I mean, maybe if the team comes back healthy next year, you know, you get your O-line healthy, Sean Andrews comes back healthy, you know, and, you know, like I said, maybe they do need a team under the defense like that, you know, defense was giving up a lot of points, a lot of passes, a lot of passing touchdowns. I mean, I don't know. It seems like they need a couple of things. I don't know if Chip Kelly's the answer, though. So.
maybe they do need a D. Milner. I think you're coming around now, Kelly, Mike.
I mean, like I say, I've watched this guy. I mean, I'll be honest. I've watched the guy. I have not seen anything from him that would make me – I haven't seen any wow moments, let's say that. I haven't seen anything that made me go, wow, he's, you know, he's going to be Patrick Peterson. Or he's, but like I said, I haven't even seen him have Morris Claiborne moments. So, you know, it's, you know, I mean, that's, you know, to be a top five pick, I mean, maybe people are looking at something that I'm not, I wasn't looking at, or maybe he has some.
Well,
kind
I mean,
of
he was the number he was.
Feet, or,
I don't know. He was the number one DB coming out of high school too. So I mean, I don't know. Maybe that still has a lingering effect also. So,
I guess, anyway, I don't know.
Let me go text.
I gotta
that
say,
to text.
I don't see either, Mike.
Text, you on?
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, what you got to say?
I think Chip Kelly, I mean, first off, he needs to have a trigger man. Doesn't have a trigger man. Second off, I mean, it's going to be inside zone.
Nick Foles?
Mike, let me finish. He still has to get a Nick Foles. I mean, he still has to get a trigger man. You understand what I'm saying? In my opinion, Foles ain't no. I mean, he might be okay, but you know, just wait and see. You understand what I'm saying? But as far as the skill position players, they are set to go fast. You understand what I'm saying? They average 20 seconds in between plays at Oregon. Chip Kelly, that was tops in the NCAA. You know, New England averaged 24. Seconds in between plays, and they were tops in the NFL. So that tells y'all you need to know right there. There's going to be a lot of inside zone, but the thing the Eagles and I can see this too. But the thing the Eagles see with this hire is a guy that can build a program. You understand what I'm saying? That can build an organization / program, however you want to call it. That's the sticking point of this hire. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's just like Mike McCoy and his adaptability, you know, taking that to San Diego. But that's what it is. They're taking a chance that Kelly can build the program up, can bring guys in, that he has an eye for talent. It's going to be interesting to see how I don't know why it couldn't work. You understand what I'm saying? You have these creative ground games, these hybrid ground games coming in that Harbaugh carries with him and they have success with him. You see what I'm saying? So I think he'll be all right, but, you know, you need a quarterback.
I think Nick Foles can be the guy. I mean, I saw him play when they came here in Tampa, and he seemed like he's kind of a clutch player. So I think he can be an NFL quarterback. I think he can be the guy.
I think Tampa Bay secondary is just sorry. Yeah. That's what.
they need a Milner too. Maybe they can get Milner too. So I mean, hey, that's true. At least the cornerback, at least to be mentored by Berrondé Barber. You know, so. We'll see.
Well, they were horrible. They were absolutely horrible.
Hey, James, I got a last comment.
I was gonna say to text. So you're not sold on Michael Vick. So you don't think Michael Vick can operate Chip Kelly's offense? And when you said the triggering, that's all I was trying to say. What about Michael Vick?
Michael Vick is owed a lot of money. I mean, you know that's the reality of the situation.
All right, hold up, James. We gotta go here, so I gotta put Watley on. All right. What's your statement, Watley?
I would say Chip Kelly is going. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I would say Chip Kelly is going to be a disaster at Philadelphia. Why? Because he's going to come in there with that spread offense and be all balls to the wall about offense, and Philly is not an offensive state. People in Philly want that hard-nosed, hardcore defense. They want that good running back, and they want some fundamental football. How do I know that? Because I am a Pittsburgh Steelers fan for 35 years, and if they hired a coach that came in with all that balls-to-the-wall offense and got rid of that steel defense, I wouldn't like him. I don't care how many games he won. And I'm telling you, he's going to come in there with that offense, and he's going to be all focused on offense. And I promise you, people in Philadelphia are not going to embrace it. Why? I am a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, and I guarantee it. 35 years strong.
Hold up. They had a but McNabb, they were with Brian Westbrook. I mean, they were kind of a passing, short pass West Coast offense, though.
But they had a they had just a solid, and it's always been built around Philly's defense.
If you go and take Philly's defense
and make it not the most important part of their game, people in Philadelphia will rebel. They take pride in the fact that they are a hard-nosed, fundamental football team, just like in New York.
You mean in terms of defense, that is?
Yes.
Well, I mean, yeah, okay, yeah. I see you have a point there, but, I mean, if he can bring somebody in to take care of the defensive side of the ball while he focuses on the offensive side of the ball, but I think he's going to have to.
I don't see an offensive coach and an offensive mind, if he comes in there and all he wants to focus on is offense, it will be a disaster, I promise.
Well, yeah. It's definitely going to be a disaster.
In 5 years.
It'll be a disaster if he focuses on offense. Who has something to say?
His focus is going to – I mean, Philly fans and fans everywhere just want wins. You know, everybody always talks about style points, but, you know, go win. Go put up wins. Go play for Super Bowls. You know, everybody's okay as long as you're doing that. You know, everybody's always they're complaining at first, but once the wins start racking up, you know, nobody really cares. You know, fickle-ass fans. You see what I'm saying? But, I mean, his focus is going to be on the entire team. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's you got LeSean McCoy, you got DeSean Jackson, you got Jeremy Maclin, Brent Celek. I mean, you have an impressive cast of skilled players. I mean, that's your advantage right now. You have the most talent at the skill positions combined with age in the NFL right now in Philadelphia. You have the most up right there. Right.
Bryce Brown coming off the bench too.
And
you know what? It's been that way for years. It didn't just get like
my point is still this. Philadelphia fans come to that stadium to see somebody get hit. Just like in Pittsburgh, we want to see Troy Polamalu knock the shit out of somebody. I don't care how much Big Ben throws touchdowns, we want to see somebody get hit. And it's the same way in Philadelphia.
This right here doesn't have any sensitive on it.
Hey, two words, D. Milner, man. Get him in the draft, man. He'll knock some people out.
Hey,
I know y'all like that. I know you like that, James. I know you're listening.
I need to go offensive line. What about Jamal? What other Jamal thinking about that, him being on here calling about this Philly? They need a line, though. With that pick, they need to take a line. Or if there's nobody there that's really right, then trade down and get, you know, multiple picks. Maybe a mistake to take your boy Milner.
My thing is, who are they going to trade down to get more picks, I guess? I mean, I don't know. I mean, I think they're pretty talented on the defensive side of the ball, too. So I think they should just focus on – they got the number 4 pick in the draft or the number 7 pick? I think they have the number 4 pick in the draft.
Best player available, you know.
Take the best player available. I think they are pretty solid everywhere else around their on their defense, and they have pretty good offensive skills.
Or they can use another pass rusher, like, you know, on the D-line.
If they don't want to get Milner, you can get a Jarvis Jones, somebody like that, you know, who I don't think, you know, will be whatever. I don't even want to get into that. We can get into our draft coverage. But I think, yeah, like Tech said, get the best player available. Don't trade down and get more picks. But anyway.
What if you have to get 2 picks in the first round, though?
I want to see who's going to trade for that. I would love to see that. Who's going to trade for that?
It depends on what you're doing with the pick. I mean, you know. You don't just trade right. down just to be trading down just to get picks. Do something with them.
All right. Let me put DT on here. I think Wiley has left. Let me put DT on here, and then we're going to end
yeah,
the show.
Man.
What's good?
Yeah, man, I think everybody wants to see somebody get hit. I mean, that's just football, right? I mean, that's what you want to see. I think, you know, Chip Kelly better hire a defensive coordinator. And if he brings that offense to the NFL, the spread is working. Chip Kelly's offense is a spread. The only difference between his offense and other offenses is tempo. You know, what he's trying to do is he's trying to get plays in so quick that your defense can't do anything about it. It's the same plays you always see in a spread, but he's trying to do it so fast that you can't check into what you need to check into to stop it. So that can obviously work, but he better hire a defensive coordinator. I mean, the people of Philadelphia, man, they don't like nobody. They don't know what they want. They hate everybody. They boo everyone. So if somebody comes in there and wins, they'll love them. They don't care who it is. It's all about winning. Winning heals all wounds.
But,
there you go.
I finish what you got to say. I got to say something in regards to what you just said. Keep going. I'm sorry.
I'm good.
Okay. No, I'm thinking like with Chip Kelly, like I'm thinking about that Alabama-Texas A&M game. Oregon and Texas A&M have very similar offenses, but the difference between, I think, a Texas A&M and an Oregon was Texas A&M had those tall, physical receivers, whereas I don't see Oregon having those. And I'm thinking to myself, when he goes to the NFL level, if he doesn't have those tall, physical receivers, he has DeSean Jackson and Jerry Macklin. I don't see, you know, how is that going to be very successful. How's that going to work on the NFL level? Because, like, if you look at the past –
You got to draft some receivers, but, I mean, look, I mean, this whole big receiver thing is pretty new, to be honest. That's new stuff, you know. These guys are all big now. The DBs hadn't really gotten that much bigger. I mean, some guys' DBs have gotten bigger, but really, you know, it just doesn't take that much to stop a completion from happening, to be honest. You know, but... I mean, I think if he brings the system in, all them players are good. Those were all the best players in college. You just never know. We'll see.
I mean, really, look at the quarterbacks he's had. I mean, at Oregon.
Right.
I don't know, Marcus Tui Asisopo, I think that was one of them. And then
he's going to know how to build that offense. And yes, he's going to have less guys to get in the NFL. In college, you know, that's friggin' – 30 kids you get every year. You know, in the NFL, you got 7 picks. It's a little different. And that's why a lot of those guys end up running back to the college league, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, he's not Nick Saban. I think he's a player's coach. Nick Saban is a control freak. He's not. I think he'll get along. You know, I don't know if he'll run back. But, you know, he might, just for the sake of college is kind of where it's at right now. I think these guys are getting paid just like these NFL coaches. These NFL players, honestly, they think they know more football than those coaches do. So a lot of them end up running back to college because they have control and the kids will still listen to them. So, you know,
and they
we'll
get,
see what happens.
And they get their money, too.
Yeah, they get paid.
They get the money. I don't even know if NFL coaches get any pension anymore. But
I mean, did you see Nick Saban – a whole stipend thing last week or a couple weeks ago. It was just kind of, if he gets to the national championship, he gets like $100,000 or whatever. He wins the national championship, like $250,000 on top of whatever the heck he was making. It's like, what the heck? So,
yeah,
some of those guys run back to college for good reason. And I think he's making a mistake. But this might have been a little boy dream you wanted to do, coaching the NFL. So we'll see.
Are you thinking Chip? You think Chip Kelly making a mistake of leaving college to go to the NFL? Or you
I do. I would stay in college. Oregon loves you. I mean, look at Strong, man. Strong is a guy who he hasn't got a head coach job in 27 years. And Tennessee trying to call him, trying to give him a job. And Charlie Strong said, man, forget y'all. I'm gonna stay right here where they gave me a shot, and I'm gonna do the best I can right here. You know, I just think sometimes when somebody gives you a shot and they believe in you and you got something going in Oregon, I think you stay. That's what I think. I don't think Philadelphia is a better place than Oregon right now. I just don't.
Yeah, I mean, you got Phil Knight, Oregon, all the money out there, and the program he built, I agree, where in NFL, we all know average spans for NFL head coach really, you know, it's 3 to 4 years. Let's say he bombs out the first year and not do well, and in the second year don't show progress, he could be out in 2 years.
Exactly.
I don't even see the 3 or 4 years anymore. Look what happened to old boy down in Jacksonville. He got 1 year and he was gone. And that's
exactly.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of did it. That was a bad deal for two, but you know, management, they fired the GM
and all the other stuff.
He's looked at as an innovator and all that good stuff. I would just stay in Oregon, but whatever. So you do what you want to do.
His fate is tied to whoever is the trigger man. Get the trigger man, keep the job. Don't have the trigger man, get fired.
I think he's good with Nick Foles. I think he could be the trigger man for the league, for his team.
I'm saying it's Michael Vick. If he's going, only reason why I'm thinking Michael Vick is still there.
Michael Vick is not. He's not Michael Vick anymore.
They had no line. That was the problem with Philadelphia.
All right. But anyway.
Someone was telling them that I taking care of that ball, but, man, that line was terrible, man.
Mm. And Vick is not good at reading defenses either, Mike.
Well, I'm not sure if any old line is going to be good for Mike Vick. I mean, Mike Vick is going to run around anyway. So I'm not sure if any O-line. It's kind of like Barry Sanders. I don't. If you give Barry Sanders an O-line, does it matter? He's going to do what he wants.
Yeah, it's true. That is a good analogy right there. But anyway, man, we got to close the show up, man.
So I'll tell you something about Trick Kelly. How many years you off the ELS in Philly?
I give him 3. 3 years.
2. I give him 2.
Yeah, I say 2 too.
No, they had to give up Andy Reid for him, so I give him 3. I have to give him 3 because they had to give up Andy Reid for him. So, you know, they're gonna take a dip, and then they're gonna probably—I don't know—if they don't come back up from that dip, maybe 2 years. But I got 3. I got 3. But anyway,
what about you, Tech?
He has a trigger, man. He's on his own time.
Yeah. I mean,
That's true.
You made a good point, though, I mean, because obviously they had to give him a bit more money because they'll call him back. And also, he probably got control of personnel when, you know, Andy Reid had that same position. So I say best bet, you know, I'll say 4 years, but I wouldn't be surprised 3 if it's not a success.
And if he – well, hold up. He has to have a defense and a running game, too. If he has a defense and a running game without a trigger man, I think he could still be successful. He could be successful, Tex.
He's not going to have the running game. He's not going to have the running game that people want him to see. You know, if you want a defense and you want a running game, that's one style. You know, you have to play good defense. You have to run the clock. That ain't his style. His style is to get the ball as much as he can, and his style is to score as many points. What does that do? What that does is, even though your defense is good, you're putting them back on the field as much as possible. So now, again, you better get a defensive coordinator.
That's true.
That defense will be tired.
That's true. But believe it or not, you're right. But the team he has already orchestrated, even with those skill players, is designed, because he has LeSean McCoy and Bryce Brown coming off the bench, man. I mean, I think he should come in his first year and try to be a little bit more traditional with the running game and the defense, and Nick Foles setting up a play action. I think that's what he should do starting off. And then, you know, once they win some games, then try to incorporate his little style or whatnot.
Well, I don't know. We'll see how good of a coach he is if he does that, because, I mean, a lot of these coaches, they get arrogant. They get arrogant in their way, and they think whatever they do is gold. So, you know, we'll see if he has that thought.
You know, they had to get him at all the authority to do that for him to leave Oregon to come in, where he all was shocked, thinking, like, okay, he's going to come back. Now he's going to be coaching Philly, so he's going to have to show his stuff the first game.
All right. Well, we gotta close here, man. The show's over. We're going to be here next Wednesday, 8:30, getting to our Super Bowl coverage. and NFL draft coverage. So if you want to check us out, we're on Block Talk Radio, CMT Firestorm. Peace out.
Bye, y'all.
Football. Soul timers, do you remember the names like Bronco?